Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Sure, it's Friday night, but that is no reason not to tune in to NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Robert the Infidel Garding. Being around since 2007, we patriots have watched as the left and many on the right have done nothing to stop what is going on to destroy our great nation. Ideas abound with our society, but most are horrible at best. But there are good ideas out there if you know where to look. Join us every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a dose of reality from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. That's NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evenings, where you can call in at 646-478-5284 and give your solutions to what is ailing this country.
CNM is growing again, and our new show coming up next with host Suzette will be airing on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. Suzette is a constitutional scholar and health professional who has hosted shows on BTR since 2009. She currently hosts Welcome to Suzette Live Talk on Spreaker. Tune in for coming up next with Suzette at 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays heard through Conservative Nation Media, where we can depend on the truth always being told and where America always wins.
I do. I care about future generations. I care about things. I want to do a song right now. I actually wrote this in April, and I'm going to keep singing it for a while because it makes me feel good. And so let's do it.
Hi, everybody. Gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government. The government can. And who can tax the sunrise? Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government. Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, 'cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. Government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions, like healthcare, climate change, pollution. Just throw away the Constitution. I wrote that, thank you. And who can give a bailout? Tell us to behave. And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. I don't care if you hate me, I'm gonna sing it anyway. Oh, the government can. And the government can. 'Cause it mixes it up with lies and make it all yummy, 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 yummy. The government takes everything we make. They're all power hungry and malicious. Soon we'll have to eat our fishes. Chicken, how's that taste, kids?
Delicious.
Who can be a failure?
Who can be a failure?
In so many ways.
In so many ways.
And instead of getting fired, hey, we'll give ourselves a raise. Kentucky, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, the government can. And the government can go. I did the choreography myself. And your Uncle Sam can, 'cause he mixes it with eyes to make himself look good. And I feel so good, 'cause the government says I should.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of you liberty and freedom-loving people out there, you are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Thank you so much for making your way here tonight. We have some people already in the switchboard. We got Mike in the switchboard. We got Robert from Conservative Nation Media. We got Gunslinger. We got a Skype number. So people are making their way here. So hello, everybody. And then in the chat room, we have Snowman James, Gunslinger, and Robert as well in the chat. Mike was there and dropped, but might come back again. Who knows? So we'll see who shows up tonight. Happy Sunday, everybody. Definitely a lot of stuff to try to cover tonight, or at least during the beginning of the show where I, you know, typically go through some of the events that has transpired in the past week, and we'll see what we end up talking about. So, of course, we have 26, or I think even 27 maybe, with Kentucky joining, states standing with Texas to secure our border in defiance of our wonderful Biden administration. This is all in response to 300,000 illegals coming through the border in December alone. That's just 1 month.
That's insane, everybody. That is seriously insane. Then on top of that, you know, Biden's all like, I'll totally secure the border, you know, but I want more emergency powers. Give me more emergency powers to shut down the border and I'll do it. As if we need to be giving the president of the United States, doesn't matter who it is, but especially Biden, they already have enough powers. We need, you know, this emergency powers crap is just yet another justification for dictatorship, really. But he's got all of the authority he needs already. It doesn't make any sense that he should be asking for more emergency powers. I believe it is something like he wants to be able to totally shut down the border when there are more than, I think it's 5,000, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's something like if there's more than 5,000, then he would order the border to be shut down, if I am not mistaken. We got Joe Gibson that just showed up in the chat as well. Good deal. Hopefully you all are hearing me okay. I'm just double-checking just to make sure that I did, in fact, unmute myself. Okay. And I'm not just talking in dead air. All right. Anyway, so, yeah, so this showdown is happening, and this is going to be interesting to see how things play out. And with the border in Texas and the states that are standing with Texas on this issue, hopefully more states join in. Especially, I would like to see more Democrat, states with Democrat governors standing with Texas. I think that shouldn't just be a GOP, a Republican kind of a thing. You know, this is, you know, if your governor and is, they are doing a disservice, like literally you need to kick their asses out the door. If you have a Democrat governor that is so aligned with Biden that they will allow more and more illegals to come in, especially if you're a state like here in Oregon, you know, a sanctuary state, and getting flooded and having already, you know, on trying to house and feed and accommodate all of these illegals coming through. You need to get rid of those governors, man. Like, really, these governors, they do not need to get reelected. I mean, they need to get rejected is what needs to happen. In other news, of course, making headlines, Trump's court case with E. Jean Carroll, the verdict came in, and $83.3 million price tag, which, of course, Trump has vowed he's going to appeal it. So I wonder how long it's going to drag out for the appeal. But that's a chunk of money. Then, of course, another news, Carrie Lake, a recorded conversation came out with the Arizona GOP chair. I forget the name of him. I'm sure you all have heard it. But in the recording, she's basically getting bribed not to run for the Senate. And so that's a little bit of a scandal, you know, and it's also very typical in politics today. There's all these backdoor deals going on, and this just shines a light on just one little piece of it. But you know that the timing is everything, right? Bribe people, maybe don't run yet. You know, it's basically what the recorded conversation was. You know, maybe wait a couple of years. Yeah, so it's politics as usual, right? Tyranny is. I mean, this is, it's all over the place. Tyranny has become normalized. People don't even recognize tyranny anymore for what it is. Tyranny is so normal. It's absolutely appalling. In other news, California. We have another avian flu outbreak going on. Remember all the avian flu outbreaks? I mean, this keeps happening. And so in California, over a million chickens have had to be destroyed recently because, you know, if one of those chickens tests positive for avian flu, entire flock. 1 million chickens. That's crazy. Don't think for a second that you're not going to see the result of that when you go to the grocery store, you go to the meat department, and you go and get yourself some chicken breast. You're going to feel that. When you go to Chick-fil-A, that sandwich is going to cost more. Well, of course, you know, and then, you know, at least Chick-fil-A, they actually, you know, have like actual real chicken, you know. But most other places, you might not see a whole lot of difference. Their chicken sandwiches are mostly filler anyway. So let us add more filler to it in order to keep the price the same. But if you actually get actual chicken breast or actual real chicken without all the fillers, then you're going to see that price difference. I mean, a million chickens, and that's so far. You know, this is, it seems to be going around the whole area. And this is the problem with all the factory farming going on, these massive, huge, massive factory farming. You know, and all these chickens cooped up in these big warehouses. And so one of them gets it, and the whole flock is destroyed or at risk. And so this is craziness, absolute craziness. I think it's time more of us start raising our own chickens. And they're even advising in California for even organic chickens. Organic chickens are required to have time outside. So now they're advising them not to even have organic chickens go outside because fly by and poop on the ground and expose those chickens outdoors to avian flu. So this is nuts. This is so nuts. So, yeah, I mean, and what does that do with the chicken? Like, I mean, this is stuff that you eat. I mean, why would you not want chickens to be outside in the sun? We all know how healing the sun can be. And so this is just nuts, man. This is just nuts. I also came across an article, the climate crazies, you know, climate this, climate that. Well, now they're going after homegrown farmers, claiming that homegrown farmers have a carbon footprint that is five times higher than conventional farming. So I'm like, okay, come on now. Come on now. So it's time to demonize your local farmer, folks. You know, your local farmer that does their own thing. They actually grow their crops in the ground. You know, actual farming. But no, conventional, somehow these huge conventional farming operations have less of a carbon footprint. That just doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, where are they coming up with this crap? So beware, you know, that the attack on actual farmers, real farmers, It's happening, folks. It's happening. They want, the powers that be want you to be eating their genetically modified, lab-grown mRNA crap that they try to call food. I think at this point you can barely call that food anymore, because it's so unnatural from beginning to end, from the genetic modifications to the pesticides and herbicides and the way that they're grown. I don't even think you can call it real food anymore. Anyways, so then, of course, last week I talked about Alabama, the planned execution of Kenneth Smith using the new nitrogen hypoxia suffocation method. So that did go through. And from what I understand, it took about 5 minutes for him to be determined as dead. But then they continue it for an additional 15 minutes after that. I guess that's the procedure. So even after, like, the heart monitor and everything is, you know, everything's flatlined, they continue additional 15 minutes just to make sure. And according to what I heard with a statement that was made, you know, a public statement that was being made about what, you know, how it actually, you know, went down. I guess he was, kind of, they say it was involuntary movements, involuntary, like, you know, shaking. Apparently the mask was on securely enough so that it didn't come loose. So, you know, it just sounds really, I don't know, it sounds kind of barbaric to me, actually. But, you know, and they say all these things are involuntary, that, you know, oh, he's unconscious, you know, they lose consciousness because, you know, you're suffocating, you're not getting any air, you lose consciousness. And then as your body is struggling to get oxygen, of course, then, you know, it's normal to have seizures, body twitching, that sort of thing, as your body is dying, that sort of thing. So, I don't know, but how do you tell the difference? You know what I mean? Like, when they're sitting there, and how do you tell the difference between what's involuntary and what's voluntary? How do you really tell if that person has even a little bit of consciousness left and they're struggling, you know, struggling to try to get, you know, how do you know that they're not aware? I mean, how do you really know that? It's just a guess, really. I have issues with this. I think it's pretty barbaric. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If we are going to have the death penalty, then far the most efficient way to do it, and it's just uglier, you know, it's just messier, it's more bloody, so it's harder for people to witness it and watch it than it is, you know, I think that, you know, it has nothing to do with being more humane, all of these other methods, like the gas chamber, like the needle, you know, lethal injection, that sort of, even electrocution. I think those methods are really have nothing to do with being humane toward the person that's being put to death, and it has more to do with the sensitivities of people that witness the execution, and it's just a lot prettier. Anyway, so that happened. And in Ohio, and I happen to be in favor of this, Ohio proposes wiping out criminal records of trafficking victims. So I'm in favor of this. If human trafficking victims are usually forced to do illegal things, they're arrested and they're trafficked, then why should that be a ball and chain around their ankle their entire lives, having this criminal record, when they're a victim? You know, they would not have done those crimes if it weren't for the fact that they were trafficked and their traffickers were forced them to do that, right? So I'm kind of in favor of that. I would like to see that pass, and I would like other states to follow. Of course, you know, they're putting stipulations in there to, you know, you can't just say you were human trafficked. You know, you have to present, you know, you were in fact trafficked. You can't just make it up in order to get your criminal record wiped out. But anyway, so I'm in favor of that. Let's see. In other news, Republicans recovered over 100 files that were deleted by the January 6th committee just days before the Republicans took the majority. So they did recover 100 files. So 100 files were deliberately deleted by the January 6th committee. Quick, hurry up. We better hide this stuff before the GOP takes the majority and starts looking at it. We've got to try to hide it. I mean, it's just the more that comes out of this January 6th committee, the more corrupt it is. I mean, like, we all knew it was corrupt. We all knew it was a sham. But it's just, like, as time goes on, it becomes even worse. Like, it was bad enough as it is. And as more time goes on, more stuff gets discovered of all the underhanded, tyrannical crap that made up this January 6th committee. I mean, it's just a bunch of crap. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Another article I saw, a whistleblower estimates that 95% of COVID-era employee retention tax breaks that businesses claimed were fraudulent. 95%. We all knew that these trillions of dollars in COVID relief, all these programs, we all knew that it was going to be ripe for fraud. And this is just, that's a lot more fraud than I expected. You know, so they gave out all this money to businesses to, you know, hire back employees after they were laid off, to retain them. You know, if you retained a certain amount, whatever, so they're giving all these tax breaks to these businesses for this employee retention program. 95% fraudulent. Oh, my God. Talk about throwing money away. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And that's just that one program, just that one. Imagine how much more. I mean, I don't think that we're ever going to even come close to finding out exactly how much fraud that those trillions of dollars contributed to, how fraudulent it was. I don't think we'll ever even get close to finding out how much was just money laundered, how much was wasted, how much was just there for corruption all across the board. Absolutely. Just, you know, and we'll never recover from that. I mean, how do we recover from trillions of dollars just wasted like that? How do we ever come back from that? How do we come back from this debt that we're in? One big way is end the Fed. End the Federal Reserve. Let's stop having to go broke just paying the interest on the printing of money out of nowhere that is controlled by the Fed. That's what needs to happen. I think we all know that, but of course everybody fears you know, oh, well, what will we do without a central bank? Oh, my God, everything will collapse. And it's like, well, look around you, folks. Things are already collapsing. But we want to continue collapsing more painfully. Anyway, let's see. Then I saw an interesting thing. RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is considering running as a libertarian. I don't think so. I don't think so, honey. I know he has a lot of support and stuff, but he's definitely not a libertarian. He's very much not a libertarian. I don't see how the Libertarian Party would get behind him, see that happening. He's trying to create his own party, but then if that doesn't work, he's considering running as a libertarian. No, I don't see the Libertarian Party. I don't see my fellow libertarians. You know, we might like the guy in a lot of ways because, you know, he's been a truther as far as COVID goes. But outside of that, I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, and then another thing on the plate, Russia claims that Ukraine shot down a plane with POWs on board. And then, of course, Ukraine is denying that. So a little bit of drama there. And also in Ukraine, I just saw a story today. Where are you? Ukraine says it uncovered $40 million scheme to embezzle money for weapons. High-ranking Ukrainian defense ministry officials conspired with employees of a Ukrainian arms supplier in a scheme to embezzle nearly $40 million meant to purchase 100,000 mortar shells for their country to use in its war against Russia, according to Ukraine's security service known as the SBU. The plot began in August 2022 when officials signed a contract with the supplier Lviv Arsenal for nearly $1.5 billion. I don't even, whatever that is, or more, basically $1.5 billion in Ukrainian money, put it that way, or more than $39.6 million for motor shells. After being paid, the supplier was supposed to transfer part of the funds to a foreign company that was supposed to deliver the 100,000 motor shell rounds to Ukraine. However, the supplier did not send a single artillery shell to the Ukraine and took the funds into the shadows. So here we go, you know, and this is just one thing. Earlier this month, the U.S. Defense Department said that officials have not kept an inventory of roughly $1 billion worth of specialized military equipment that the war-torn European nation has received as of last summer. Talk about more money laundering. I mean, we've said it all along. Ukraine is nothing but a big old money laundering operation, has been for a long time. And here we go. You know, we're just getting little trickles of evidence of how corrupt it really is. And yet the good old U.S. of A., Biden has been helping to fund that fraud. So with all that said, we got all kinds of people raising their hand. We got all kinds of people ready to come on in. So let's start bringing them in. I'm going to bring in Mike. And then I believe this was Donnie, bringing him on in. And then Boyd the Alaskan, I believe. And let's see, everybody else is not raising their hand yet. Oh, Gunslinger just raised his hand. I'll bring him on in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's raising their hand. Woohoo!
The whole troop is coming in.
The problem
with somebody talking about ending the Fed, the last time somebody talked honestly out loud about in public about ending the Fed, that helped lead to them getting assassinated.
And yeah, I know. That's the risk that's posed.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and bring in Daniel or Kathy as well.
Hey.
Let's see if we got this one. Hey, Daniel. How you doing?
How you doing? Good.
And by the way, Lori.
Good to hear from you. Good to see you tonight.
You too.
By the way, Lori, the more crap they dig up from the January 6th committee, the more it stinks. You know? So, yeah.
Absolutely. It was such a fraud. I mean, every single one of those people that were on that committee should be locked up for the fraud that it is. They committed fraud against the American people. They need to be locked up, every damn one of them.
Well, the law needs to be changed that says that they cannot be done anything as long as they're... Anything that happens in the House or Senate, they cannot be done anything to because it's in the course of basically running the country. That law somehow needs to be changed.
It's got to be criminal to deliberately lie, deliberately omit evidence, delete evidence. There still hasn't been any news on the all of the videotaped interviews with witnesses that disappeared, vanished. I was looking up to see if anything happened with that, you know, anything new developed with that, and nothing. So, I mean, there's a huge, you know, it's obvious there's a huge cover-up at play. You know, it covering up what really happened deliberately. You know, it's like they conspired with Hollywood or something to make the story the way they wanted to and omit evidence that was contrary to the narrative. I mean, this is a flat-out fraud. It's got to be a crime. For our representatives, our elected representatives, to conspire, do this huge fraud on the American people. I mean, you know, that's a lot of taxpayer dollars right there, and all for this committee and the sham that it was to have them sitting there, you know, all day, you know, witnesses and all that stuff. You know, putting the hours that it took to put all of their strategic video footage that they displayed, painting that the horror, you know, bad picture of what really, you know, what happened, and yet hiding everything. I mean, it's just sickening. I do have a Skype number raised in their hand, and so I'm going to go ahead and bring you on Skype number. Let's find out who we got. Hello, Skype. You're on. Who do we got?
John Doe. The Mr. Doe
Hey,
man.
Hey, John Doe. Howdy do. Glad to have you on here. We got a full house going on.
Go ahead, Mike, and finish, brother.
Oh, yeah. What I was going to say, I mean, like I said, I mean, if they're criminal, if it's legal for them to freaking inside trade, you know, in the Congress, why wouldn't it be legal for them to do basically slander somebody like they did, Trump? Because all that January 6th thing was slander, you know. And he should be able to go after, you know, Cheney and Kinzinger and the rest of them who are still in. The Democrats are still in Congress, right? So he should be able to go after all of them for slandering him. It's all slander. you know? And so, but they get away with it because there's a law that said that anything that happens within the House of Congress, he can't be charged with anything. And that's wrong. I think that's the law. I think that's the law anyway.
Well, I know it's the law in the well of the Congress, but I don't think it is outside of the well of the Congress.
Well, I mean, do they have immunity, like the president is supposed to have immunity? Anything that happens in Congress, and that's mean that it's not just a well, but it's in these committees and all this other stuff. Do they have immunity that says that anything that happens in Congress, you know, boom, can't go after them?
Lori.
Hey. Hey. Kathy.
Hey. I'd like to ask y'all something. If y'all have heard the same thing I've heard, and I've heard this a long time ago, that Congress and the Senate, they have special funds set up. If they're accused of harassment or something like that, these funds will pay the lawyer and pay their victim off. Have any of y'all heard anything like that in the past?
Yep.
Okay. So it's true.
Yep.
If they,
yep.
That's why you never hear about any of them in the news, you know, being harassing someone or molesting somebody, because they pay them off with these funds, special funds they have set aside just for them.
Yep.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, why wouldn't they? Drug makers, you know, big pharma, they literally put money aside knowing that they're probably going to have wrongful death suits, that they will have injuries, you know, lawsuits with people that are injured. I mean, they plan on it. They totally plan on it. And so why wouldn't Congress? Why wouldn't Congress use that same method and go, okay, yeah, you know, we're in control of the purse strings here. You know, let's put in our budget funds so that when we get sued, you know, it doesn't have to, it comes out of taxpayer dime. Of course they would.
Right.
Pretty low down. In my book.
And then the pharmaceutical companies are privileged enough to have Congress pass a law that says they can't be sued for any injuries caused by the COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Zero liability.
And here's another little sneaky thing that they pulled, okay? Remember all the COVID vaccine commercials and stuff? You remember all of those?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. You couldn't watch TV for 10 minutes without a COVID, get your booster, get your shot commercial.
Well, those were 100% paid for, produced, and put on TV by the government. And you know how I could tell how and why I'll tell you that the government did it? And it was because had the pharmaceutical companies put up those commercials for them, you know, to pry their wares, they would have to have put on in those commercials the side effects, the bad things that can happen, and all of this. And if you noticed, none of those commercials for COVID vaccine had any of that, period.
Well, even the inserts that were blank, you know.
Well, the government doesn't have to put all those warnings and stuff up. Every commercial that you see on TV for any drug that you see on TV, you pay attention. It's got side effects. They say, don't use it if you're using this, and blah, 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 you know, and what side effects will happen, you know, could happen with the use of the particular drug that they're advertising on TV. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, the government requires
Pay attention to the commercials you see for drugs on TV, and they all will have it. Those commercials are being paid for and produced and put on TV by the pharmaceutical companies themselves. But nothing was put up by the companies in the COVID vaccines, because it was all done by the government, who does not have to do that. Had Big Pharma put those commercials on, they would have had to have told you of all the side effects.
Which, of course, they were hiding, you know, which, of course, we all knew.
Yes.
It. We knew that they were hiding.
Yes.
It.
Yes.
But now, of course, that's coming out more and more. We are just conspiracy theorists, and we are saying, hey, you know, so
mm-hmm.
there's like tons and tons of side effects being reported. Veer's database was going off the rails, and they deliberately hid it, and they deliberately hid their initial research. They deliberately hid people that had adverse reactions. They hid all of it. Yeah. And it's all because it's public service. That was part of the COVID fund, you know. It's paid for all those commercials. Go get your shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the government cares, you know. We care about you
and for your safety and
for your health.
And then anybody who put up anything about the side effects of the vaccines, they were all shut down. Remember?
Yeah, all those doctors, you know, all those doctors that were getting together and saying, hey, you know, what was that called? The White Coat Project or something like that. Those doctors, I mean, their license were being threatened, all of it, you know. They were not going to allow the truth to come out. That was misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they silenced the very person that helped develop mRNA, you know, when they silenced the person that actually helped develop the PCR test, and they silence them saying, hey, this is, you know, this test, you're using it wrong, folks, you know. And when
mm-hmm.
they silence those very people that were involved in the development to begin with, then there's your sign, you know, that, hey, something is not right here. But, you know, we'll listen to Fauci. You know, we got to listen to Fauci. He says the voice is the only ones that mattered, right?
Oh, no, no, no. You know what it is? He is science. That's what he is. He is science, Fauci. That's what he said, anyway.
Oh, yes. I am the science. Well, sure you are.
He's
single-handedly.
He's in this thing neck deep. I mean, he's probably tied to each and every damn one, from Pfizer to Moderna to J&J to there's a fourth drug company, I can't remember what the other AstraZeneca,
all of them.
Yeah, he's probably. I mean, how many millions of dollars has he made from all the drug companies? You know. Plus, we know that he's tied to the fucking, the lab in Wuhan. So he's probably getting how many millions of dollars from China? He's another one that's been bought off by China. Hello?
You got
everybody.
That right. Sorry, I muted my phone. And it looks like we got Nathan raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Nathan on into this conversation as well. Hey, Nathan, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, Fauci is right that he is science, and because excrement is science. You know? And here's something on this thing y'all mentioned, Ukraine. Back in the day, it was Mike Pence, and I sent you the video. We keep seeing the video of Biden in that meeting or seminar or whatever it was. But we keep looking at that, but nobody plays the rest of it a minute or two down. And it was Mike Pence who went over. He wasn't vice president then, but he went over and was the man on the ground to walk through this prosecutor being removed and making sure Biden's son is off. Okay, now here's the other part on the law with the the Pfizer and all them other people companies. They got shielded from any lawsuits. Okay, they didn't have to have that guy at the end of the commercial talking real fast, you know, this fine print in speech. But this is messed up. In the 1994 contract with America, there was 8 promises and 10 bills that they brought up as their contract. The very first promise was we will pass a law that Congress has to live by the same laws the rest of the country does. I don't know where they already assumed they were above the law and the people and the Constitution, but I can't find the vote on that, the vote count, how many yeses and nos. I can't find anybody that can give me, you know, what those numbers was. It never made it up for a vote. It just got them elected. And on day 97, he stood up to the mic and said, we did it. You know, we brought it up before the first 100 days, you know. And so this is why I can't buy into the guilt of we gotta vote for this Republican in order to keep the Democrats from getting a majority. Most of the stuff the Democrats celebrate, it has its origin in the Republican Party, like global warming, abortion. You go down the line. They're the ones that put together the policy, and it's just a show that they just got me and you down here fussing while they're united. And I got something for John Doe, if you don't mind, and then you can mute me. John Doe, you're the hope of the world. John Doe is the hope of the world. That's what they told him in that movie. He told me to watch, and I watched the movie John Doe. And what was really neat is it was the Tea Party all over. It's like the people, you know, got motivated, and then the people at the top with influence started wanting to get control of the movement. I thought that was pretty neat.
Thank you for that vote of confidence, my friend Nathan.
Yeah, that's what you're the hope of the world, John Doe. That's what that was. He was told that. You're
well,
a great.
I'll give credit to Jesus Christ, but I do appreciate the vote of confidence.
Yeah, but he said she said you're a great cause for the common man. John Doe. That's how I wrote that down when she wrote, said it, so I could remind you, you are John Doe. Don't ever let anybody take that away from you.
For me, that was my motivation to pick up this torch and run with it with his name.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you ain't just hiding because you got a felony record and they're looking for you, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you got it. That was good. It connected the dots. I thought, you know, why doesn't this white guy want to give his name out? But I keep being John Doe because you're doing a great job. But yeah, I just this is the thing. You know, I don't know if any of you guys listened to Sally's show the other night. Got this congressman, this guy running for Congress down here, and I couldn't. He's not in my district. But one of the things I pointed out to him is there are no districts. It's the Congress members can all be roommates in Orlando right here in the same house. They don't go there for mapped out lines on the map like counties. It's for the people. It's for the people is why they go there, for two reasons, going to represent the people and bring the money back. And that's why we got railroad tracks that divides neighborhoods, and these guys over here get a bridge and these guys over here don't. And we got red and blue cities, counties, and states because of that. And I would not vote for him if it was going to cost the country to go down the drain, because it would still go down the drain because he doesn't know his Constitution. That's my opinion, and I approve of it. If you go, you can go ahead and mute me, and I'll keep listening.
Or you can just mute yourself on your end.
I don't
mute you on my end.
You don't have a mute
button on your phone?
No.
Ah,
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's weird.
Last time I tried to mute something, I hung up.
The mute button is not red.
Okay, that's what the problem was. Well, go ahead and mute me, and then I'll put my finger up in the air if I need to say something.
All right. Okay, I'll put you on mute. No problem. Yeah, and then in the chat, Nathan put in a link to the vaccine side effect compensation lawsuit. That was from 2020. And I think I haven't looked recently, but it wasn't too long ago that I read that. I mean, there is such a small number of these vaccine side effect lawsuits that have actually been approved, and they've been – and the ones that have been approved, like the compensation is like minuscule. It's absolutely pathetic. So number one, you know, good luck even getting your case to be heard. And then number two, what you're awarded is tiny. I mean, it doesn't even, it usually covers like not even all of the medical expenses, you know, but medical expenses only. Like, there's no pain and suffering. There's no, you know, loss of income, none of that stuff. It is, like, strictly they will help cover the out-of-pocket medical expenses, something like that. So even that compensation board or whatever that was set up to relieve the liability on the pharmaceutical companies for the COVID shot, and instead made this, you know, government one. That's a big scam too, you know. So, so again, they, you know, put money aside to help pay for adverse reaction, you know, side effects and all that. They set money aside for it, but they're not paying it out, you know. So they're sitting on this money, and they're just hanging on to it, probably spending it on who knows what else, you know. Who knows? Maybe it goes into the fund for the Department of Defense so that they can keep failing their audit. You know, let's just transfer it over to the DOD, and we can disappear as much money as we want. That's my theory on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely sickening. And there was a Facts Matter clip that I had uploaded back in the end of November, and I never did play it. And I was kind of scrolling through, and I kind of, you know, since we're talking about this, it goes along with this. This was from November 27th. A judge allows for indefinite detention of unvaxxed at the governor's whim. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, because this is kind of interesting. And like I said, I intended to play it a long time ago, but I never did. We got onto other topics, but since we're talking about, you know, a lot about the, what happened with COVID and these funds and the fraud, this might be a good time to go ahead and play that clip. So give it a listen, and now would be a good time if you wanted to just listen, go get your drink, go let the dog out, go let the dog back in. I know I'm going to do so while I listen to it as well. So it's pretty interesting. So this is more tyranny. You know, give governors the ability to indefinitely detain people that refuse to get vaxxed.
Because of a new court ruling, which just came down last week, the state of New York, and particularly the governor of New York, has just gotten one step closer to attaining the ultimate pandemic power, being able to designate certain classes of individuals as a health threat, forcibly relocating those individuals to specially designated housing facilities, and keeping them there for as long as the government wants. And also, they'd have the power to control what these people can and cannot do. However, if these new government powers sound like the very definition of a quarantine camp, well, according to this AP fact check right here, you would be wrong. Although their reasoning is perhaps even more ridiculous than you can probably imagine. And so, let's go through it all together. To start with, back in December of 2021, at the height of the COVID pandemic, you had a bill that was working its way through the New York State Legislature. This bill would allow the government to take people that they deem to be threats to the general public health and put those people into essentially indefinite detention. This bill, just for your reference, was called Assembly Bill 416. And when I personally read this bill back in December, it was frankly the most aggressive piece of legislation I've come across in the past decade. Let's go through the bill together and you can tell me what you think of it. You can leave your thoughts down in the comments section below. Here's how the bill reads. Quote, upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case, contact, or carrier, or suspected case, contact, or carrier of a contagious disease that, in the opinion of the governor, after consultation with the health commissioner, may pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health resulting in severe morbidity or high mortality. Now, just to pause here for a super quick moment, what this bill is laying out here is that based on the opinion of the governor, if you as an individual or if you as a member of a class of individuals, if the governor determines that you are contagious for some disease, or if someone you have contact with is contagious for some disease, at least based on the suspicion of the governor, you're all now subject to what comes next. Quote, the governor or his or her delegate, including but not limited to the commissioner or the heads of local health departments, may order the removal and or detention of such a person or group of such persons by issuing a single order identifying such persons either by name or by a reasonably specific description of the individuals or group being detained. Now, to pause here again for another quick moment, let's recap. Based on the opinion of the governor, what they can do, he or she, whoever the governor might be at the time, they can say, hey, John Doe over there, or let's say a group of people, let's say unvaccinated individuals as a whole, they can be isolated and detained and then sent off. And this is where it says they can be sent off to. Quote, such person or group of persons shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegate in complying with subdivision 5 of this section. And so essentially, what this here is saying is that if in the opinion of the governor or of some political appointee of the governor, if you are someone who poses a health threat to the community or to the state, they can lock you away. And what's interesting here is that the provisions in this bill were so purposefully vague that they could mean many different things based on interpretations. They said that the person can be put away in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premise. Now, what does that exactly mean? not clear, and it gives tremendous latitude to both the governor as well as to the New York Department of Health. In fact, when I first read this bill, it gave me very Executive Order 9066 vibes. If you know, Executive Order 9066 was what President Roosevelt used to set up internment camps for the Japanese during World War II. But in that executive order, if you actually read it, it says something along the lines of, if you are a person who is deemed to be a threat to national security, you're going to be moved to an inland relocation center. And so you see how the language there was opaque as well. It's very vague. It doesn't say exactly what it is. It doesn't necessarily outline exactly who it is. And it definitely doesn't say anything about internment camps. They're called relocation centers. And so, likewise, with this bill out in New York, that's the same kind of language that they were using. And it's exactly this opaque language which would allow the governor to, just as an example, designate unvaccinated individuals as a group, place those people into one of these medical facilities, and then, this is what the bill goes on to say could be done to these people once they are actually in these medical facilities. Quote, the government would be able to require an individual who has been exposed to or infected by a contagious disease to complete an appropriate prescribed course of treatment, preventative medication, or vaccination, including directly observed therapy to treat the disease and follow infection control provisions for the disease. The provisions of this section shall not be construed to permit or require the forcible administration of any medication without a prior court order. Meaning that if you ever find yourself in this situation, you better hope that the judge overseeing the court is on your side. Now, there is something worth noting here, which is that if you read the actual text of Assembly Bill 416, it does go on to say that no one shall be held for more than a period of 60 days. But there's also a caveat which says that it allows the court to issue an order to waive the maximum detention time. And so after the initial 60 days, the court is allowed an additional 90 days to consider the detention of that individual, which is a cycle that, at least in theory, can go on indefinitely at the sole discretion of the Department of Health. Furthermore, according to the actual text of the bill, it doesn't make any mention of COVID. And so in theory, it can apply to any contagious diseases altogether, such as HIV, AIDS, hepatitis, or whatever else might come next. However, as wild as this story already is, it actually gets wilder. Because you see, the way that this all played out is that this particular bill received such heavy blowback, it wasn't even able to find a co-sponsor, and therefore, it was removed from the legislative calendar, meaning that the bill essentially died on arrival. But that was absolutely not the end of the story. Because Governor Kathy Hochul, she essentially went around the state legislature and she implemented this new law in the form of a state regulation. That's because, like many other states across America, the state of New York has a fairly large book compiling the rules and regulations of the state. It's called the NYCRR, the New York Codes, Rules, and Regulations, and essentially it's a large compilation that's maintained by the executive branch of government, the State Department specifically, and it contains within it all the different codes, rules, and regulations which are in force within the state. It's a large compilation covering everything from banking to transportation to social services, and also, relevant to our discussion today, to health. And back in April of last year, in April of 2022, which for reference was just 4 months after Assembly Bill 416 died, the New York Department of State, under the leadership of Governor Kathy Hochul, they made a significant change to New York regulations. Specifically, they added another section called Section 2.13, Isolation and Quarantine Procedures. And the powers that this new regulation gave to the governor, as well as to her political appointees, well, it mirrors exactly what was in that earlier bill that died on arrival. For instance, under the subsection titled Duty to Issue Isolation and Quarantine Orders, here's what it says, quote, whenever appropriate to control the spread of a highly contagious communicable disease, the State Commissioner of Health may issue and or may direct the local health authority to issue isolation and or quarantine orders consistent with due process of law to all such persons as the State Commissioner of Health shall determine appropriate. But as wild as all this is, it actually gets wilder, which I'll get into right after I introduce today's sponsor by showing you this little piece of money.
Or rather, I should say that this is fake money being printed into oblivion by those geniuses over in Washington, D.C. And so before they completely obliterate your life savings, what I recommend you do is to convert that fake money.
All right, I just stopped it. He likes to put the sponsors or whatever right in the middle of the video, but I think that you get the gist of what it's talking about there. And so, again, this was back in November. And, you know, that's pretty concerning, you know, that judges would allow this. I mean, it's like, you know, a governor could essentially set up almost any area they want as a designated facility to quarantine or indefinitely detain people that are even just suspected. The governor, you know, if the governor suspects that a group of people or, you know, or individual might have been in contact with a deadly pathogen, then it's a free-for-all. Go ahead and lock them up. And then, you know, give them whatever the approved treatment there is. And if you look at COVID, I mean, it wasn't, you know, most of the people that died because of the protocol, because of the drugs that they were being given, drugs that literally say, don't give this to people that are already hospitalized or on ventilators, and yet they were giving it to people. They were given the massive doses of opioids. You know, they were overdosing them. And but of course they died of COVID. They didn't die from the bad combination of drugs that were being given that were standard COVID treatment protocol. And so that can happen again as well. So you might not even be sick. You might not actually have been exposed, but if you're suspected that you were around somebody that got whatever the pathogen is, you know, then you could be shipped off to these facilities and you could be forced to take whatever the treatment protocol is. I mean, this is insane. This is absolutely insane. This is allowing the governor free will to commit medical tyranny on whoever they suspect. It's absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. That we even have judges that would rule in favor of this kind of thing. Tell me how that is at all constitutional to do this
kind of thing.
It can't be.
We're all going to go to concentration camps using that rule because we're all mentally defective.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think it stated, you know, like mentally defective.
Unless, of course, it's a virus. and we are contagious. Because if we keep being out there on the street telling the truth, and people start listening and understanding what we're saying, truth, well, then they get it. Then they get the disease.
Yeah, that would be a pretty loose interpretation of that law, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Mm-hmm. They have loose interpretation.
Are you a conservative? Are you a libertarian? You have a mental disease that's contagious. It's a virus.
There are a lot of laws that turns
people into conservatives. Oh, my God. Lock them up.
There are a lot of laws.
That's exactly what they would do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal.
Well, I mean, it's another law. Well, it's another rule. Regulation that, you know, if you know, Giuliani's son or Lee Zeldin had been elected, then he could choose not to enforce the regulation, you know, but it's a liberal state. And she got elected just like fucker, the fucking general, what's his name? I think she got appointed because Mucky Tits got kicked out because he had his problems, he he has his women problems, you know, Cuomo. And then Hochul got elected in the last round of she got appointed and then she got elected as the governor.
Boy, we got a lot of quiet people.
Yep, we got a lot. By the way, I put that song into the chat room again, just in case, you know, whatever, you know.
The I have no more fucks to give.
Yeah.
All right, I'll play it. Yeah, I did upload it. I'll play it real quick. It's only a couple of minutes. I'll go ahead and play it just for you.
I tried, and I tried even more. I cried, and I can't recall what for. I pressed, I pushed, I yelled, I begged in hopes of some success. But the inevitable fact is that it never will impress. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have run up dry. I've tried to go fuck shopping, but there's no fucks left to buy. I've no more fucks to give, no more fucks I've tried to get. I'm over my fuck budget, and I'm now in fucking debt. I've played by all the rules, but I've very rarely won. I've smiled, I've charmed, I've wooed and laughed, alas, to no avail. I've run round like a moron to unequivocally fail. I've no more fucks to give, my fuck fuse has just blown. I've been hunting for my fucks all day, but they've upped and fucked off home. I've no more fucks to give, my fuck rations are depleted. I've rallied my fuck army, but it's been fucking defeated. The effort has just not been worth the time or the expense. I've exhausted all my energy for minimal recompense. The distinct lack of acknowledgement has now begun to gall, and I've come to are now so fucked up they refuse to fucking stay. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have gone insane. They've come back round and passed me while they're fucking off again. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have all dissolved. I've planned many projects but my fucks won't be involved. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have all been spent. They fucked up from the building and I don't know where they went. I've no
How about that?
Oh, that's funny. I love
that is funny.
Songs like that.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, look.
Yeah, I uploaded, like, a lot of clips tonight not knowing what I'll play. You know, there's another facts matter with the 26 states rebel against the Biden administration. I have Dave Champion did one a few days ago. That's a good one. And as well, he's talking about Oregon voters in the video. And I actually made a comment on that on his video He's on Rumble, by the way, Dave Champion. It's what the fuck is wrong with these voters? And it's not very long, but you know how I like to usually play whatever, you know, he puts out a good video, I like to play it. But I actually commented on it saying, you know, hey, maybe you should come back on my show and we can deep dive into this, because it's not a very long video that he did on it, but it's also pretty good. Who wants to hear the latest Dave Champion?
Hey, do it.
Hey, Lori Ann.
Yes.
While you still have access to Nathan, why don't you ask him about the truck convoy? Remember last night on Donnie C's show, we were hoping Nathan would stop in about that. You do what you want to do. I just wanted to make sure and mention that before we forgot.
Oh, yeah.
We were wanting to talk about that last night on Donnie C's show, and Nathan wasn't there, and we thought maybe he might have a better insight because he kind of knows that industry.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to unmute him real quick. And Robert, I unmuted you as well. I know you can kick back and stay muted if you want, but I'm just going to unmute everybody, I think, because I don't want to forget. I've had a bad habit of forgetting to unmute people before my switchboard goes down, which that isn't going to happen for a while and everything. But, yeah, hey, Nathan, so, yeah, what do you think about the trucker convoy going down there to the border?
First, you said your memory. There's two things that goes with age. One is your memory, and the other one I forgot, and I always remember it with my glasses. Anyway, I haven't heard anything about a convoy. I got a real closed world. I don't like listening to the radio and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
I haven't
like,
heard anything
it, it,
about
it,
a convoy.
Yeah, there's
I'm sorry
several. I haven't heard, like, the latest. Who has the latest? Like, how many truckers are actually have made their way down there? I think there's, like, you know, like, truckers in different states are all getting together, you know, in separate convoys, but they're all going to be meeting up down there in Texas somewhere.
I'll tell you, yeah, well, I haven't been, like I said, I live in a closet, and I only come out when I need, so I get a lot of information out there, so I just kind of block myself so that I can pay attention to what I'm dealing with. But I will look into this, and I'll learn. I'm sure I probably know some people that are down there. Well,
yeah,
you know,
I would imagine so. I'm surprised you haven't been invited.
Yeah, well, I'm a local driver.
Here.
I'm a local driver, and a lot of these guys, most of those guys are not regional. They're over the road, the long haul. But yeah, I'm gonna look into this, see what's up. And I didn't even know about it. I haven't even heard it. And I don't listen to any news or any radio or anything like that. I got my head in a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing a lot of posts telling them not to show up because they're going to pull a January 6th. They're going to have a lot of feds and Antifa and the likes in that organization or in that that crowd so they can create an incident.
And then they'll get, the truckers will probably get blamed for going down there, and all they're doing is just, you know, riding by waving their flag type stuff, you know, we're for America. But here's the whole thing with this border, man. I'm telling you, I had somebody sent me something about these Democrats, and you know, and I agree, but what Biden's doing, I heard something that they said there was 11,000 last month. They documented 11,000 people walk across that border or come across the border. 11,000 a day. 11. That's just 1 month in all this time this has been happening. Can you imagine that?
Yeah,
okay,
300,000.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, 300,000 is just one alone.
here's what's going to happen is one of these days something's going to fall apart, and when it does, it's going to be chaos. And you know what? Our police and military ain't going to be able to get on top of it real quick. You know?
Or they're not going to want to get on top of it. Just like, well, it'd be just like what happened in Portland and people places like in Seattle and places like that. They won't want to get on top of it.
Yeah. Well, but I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the locals. What I'm talking about is, you know, we're going to see like in Afghanistan. I mean, Pakistan. Whenever this stuff. So we're going to see something stupid. It's not just going to be people rioting and beating people up and some violence here and there, you know, at a large scale. I'm talking about I can't give my imagination out, but I think that it's going to be a sucker punch. It's going to be hard to recover from, you know.
Right. Well,
I just I unmuted Cinnamon too. Cinnamon, I saw that you were raising your hand, so I did unmute her.
I did pull up an
article from CBS Austin. Convoy seeks to blockade southern border, hold protests, we shall never surrender. Eagle Pass, Texas. A convoy seeks to line the southern border with more than 700,000 vehicles and hold several rallies next week to demand action from the Biden administration. The Take Our Border Back Southern Border Convoy will span from Virginia Beach, Virginia, to San Diego, California, and hold protests urging officials to enforce the Constitution's amendments and halt human and drug trafficking across the border from January 29th till February 3rd. The convoy aims to send a message to local, state, and federal officials and law enforcement that they need to close the border and deport all illegal immigrants in its plan to shine a spotlight on open borders. Chambers claims Americans are besieged on all sides by evil dark forces. We have sustained continual bombardments of tyranny and have maintained our honor, prestige, and a spirit de corps, Chambers asserted. The enemy has demanded the surrender of Lady Liberty and her children. Tyrannical actors have tortured and oppressed without cause, without mercy, and without reprieve. Goes on and on. I put it, the article goes on, but I did put it into the chat room. So we'll see how many people turn out. And I hope that they don't listen. You know, being warned away. You know, no, don't go there. It'll be a setup like January 6th was. Well, so what? You know, so what are we gonna? Are we gonna be so afraid of our own government? Are we gonna let them win that way? I say hell no.
Right. What I think, Lorianne, is right now it's a standoff. Right now, there's nothing real. It's happening, but there's nothing really action happening other than, you know, they want to try and cut the wire and all that stuff. And people are actually sending wire from other states to replace the wire that potentially could be cut. But here's the deal, okay? Assuming that, I've said this before, assuming that the election is fair and assuming that Trump gets elected, that's when all the shit's going to start to happen, right? All the polls say he's ahead of Nikki Haley in the primaries, and he's gonna be the guy that's going to win the primaries for the Republicans, and he's going to be basically the presumptive nominee, but that's neither here nor there. The other polls are saying that he's now currently ahead of Biden, right? So if he gets elected, if he ends up getting elected somehow, that's when all the shit's going to hit the fan, because remember, in terms of rioting and all this other stuff, there's this thing called the Transition Integrity Project. And basically in that, it says that if Trump is to get elected again, they want to make him
make the decision to have, you know, invoke the Insurrection Act, right? They want to make him do that, right? And how do you make him do that? You have this thing going on the border, number one. Number two, you have the riots start to happen again. That's their plan if Trump ends up getting elected. That's their plan.
Well, they definitely got a plan.
Right, and Lorianne, hopefully Sarge will call in. I see him in the chat room.
Yeah, I don't see everybody that's in the switchboard is unmuted currently, and so I don't see Sarge's 111 number, at least not yet.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Cinnamon.
Go ahead, Cinny.
What I've been reading is they're worried that it's not going to be like a January 6th thing, that we're going to have way too many vigilantes in there, and something's going to go off.
Yep.
Because they keep saying peaceful and lawful, and they said with the people that they're dragging in, a lot of people are saying that there's going to be way too many agitators, and things aren't going to stay as peaceful as they did in D.C. or when they were in Ottawa when they were doing that one. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be a volatile situation. It's going to be real easy to get agitators in there. So hopefully.
Here's where it's going to get real dangerous. Here's where it's going to get real dangerous is back a couple years ago when we were seeing all these cities burning and going crazy. Guess what? These were people from here. They were people. We could arrest them, and then they got out. They got out. They had a system set up to release them. And they went back out there and started, throwing rocks or doing whatever they do, okay? But we got people that ain't Americans. They're from other countries. And like I said, just 11,000 for a day for 1 month, I can't imagine where are these people at. And when they hit the ground, there ain't going to be no standing up in a speech and saying, let's just calm down. We can talk about this. There ain't gonna be none of that. These people are not in this. They're not from this country. While there'll be a lot of people that are a part of it from this country, this is why I say one of these days we're gonna see something that just breaks our imagination.
I wonder if. The FBI right now is going over, all the agents that they have that have CDLs and put them in trucks, so that they can have their agitators. January 6th.
Yeah.
it was the FBI that were the agitators.
That's the plan. Now, here's something that's just started to roll around in my head. You remember when we went out of Afghanistan and they left all the weapons? You remember?
Around that same time, they released a guy, worked out a prisoner exchange. And the guy that we gave them back was a guy that his job is getting military equipment to people.
Right. Well, here's what little conspiracy theory is rolling around in my head today. Okay. We've been seeing all of these military age illegals come into the country. And, you know, you wonder why. And then I start to think, you know, I wonder if Biden left all of that military equipment in Afghanistan so that they can, you know, move it back here under the darkness of night to arm all of these illegals that are coming in.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just saying that that's my conspiracy brain thinking right here. You know?
Added to that, you got the equipment over there to train them on them, and then let them come across the border on foot.
Yeah, and then bring our stuff here, and then smuggle the equipment in.
Yeah, what would you do when you see a M1 Abrams rolling across the border coming this way?
Well, you know, they didn't leave a whole bunch of that stuff in there that, you know. But they left thousands and thousands of ARs and small crew weapons and man-portable rocket launchers, anti-aircraft, and all of that stuff over there. And, you know, Biden could have made a deal with the Taliban saying, well, you're going to be the keeper of this for a while. And then we're going to bring it back in because we're going to attack ourselves. And the Taliban's going to be going like, yeah, okay, we can go with that.
Who is he talking to? How about you, make a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning? Who are you talking to? Who is he talking to, the Taliban?
We had two different conversations going.
Biden?
Who is it? What's an agitator anyway? I'm just curious. What I mean, if the people are going down there to the border, you know what? They're preventing. The government is breaking the law. The people down there, the administration is in contempt of the Constitution. They're unlawful what they're doing. People are dying because people are coming across this border, illegal immigration. If they can't uphold the laws of this country, then they are de facto and they gotta go by any means necessary.
Second that emotion.
Well,
this is why I can't trust the Republicans because they are letting him continue to get away with this, and then we start talking about hearings to impeach somebody when we're in an election year, you know. So it's all a show. Why couldn't they do it back then? It's all a show. And we need to. The Republicans ain't our friends. They're standing by letting it happen.
Lori Ann?
Yes.
I put another clip into the chat room for possible download. I think you might find this an interesting clip. Now, some a couple years back, but it's an interesting clip. About 4 or 5 minutes. That's about it.
Okay, gotcha. I will check that out here.
Hey, can I say something?
Absolutely.
We can't hear you, Kathy. I don't know if you went to mute.
Anybody hear Biden call? Anybody hear call Biden? Biden called Trump the sitting president.
I have about four or five phones here. But I saw a video today. This is just something to think about. And it was interesting, but, you know, you have to discern if you want to believe it or not, just like me. But it was a veteran, and he was on there talking. He seems to think that all these military-age illegals coming in, you know, you just said a minute ago, where are they going? You know, I mean, what happens to them when they come to this country? He's saying that they are bused to these dumps, these underground military, and they're training them. He also said that there was like $6 billion in military assets missing. They can't account for it. So he seems to think something's going to go down. And you wonder how they all have cell phones. You know, all of them have cell phones. That's how they would possibly get in touch with them to activate them, you know. So anyways, just thought, I listened to him, and what he says could be possible. It could make sense, but it may be just another conspiracy theory. But he says, be sure and keep your guns ready. The UN is involved in this too, you know, the UN.
Yes.
He said he was coming from Pigeon Forge and saw a lot of UN vehicles on the back of a tractor trailer, you know, just one right after the other. So, but he seems to think the UN is involved. Said the UN wants their own military. So, you know, and possibly the UN is trying to overthrow this country too.
And yeah, you know, something you're just on that UN, you know, we always see in the news, UN, you know, in different countries and the vehicles going around, but we've never thought of it as them, you know, seeing a bunch of them in our country. And whenever it falls in that apart, then they'll be here being a part of it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Hey, Kathy, well, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you remember back whenever a number of years ago, I think it was 2015 or something, they had the Jade, what was it, Jade 15 or something? I don't remember. Was that a UN kind of like a test trial thing, or do you know?
I don't.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think it's called JDAM, and that was at the time when they were giving all these, like, military vehicles to, like, sheriffs and police departments and things of that nature, right?
Could they?
I think that's what you're talking about.
I think J-15 that I'm referring to was kind of like a big military convoy, and it was multiple legs throughout the United States, and people were bringing attention to it, but I never knew. I thought UN had something to do with it, but I never heard the details. And it makes me think, from what Kathy was just saying, that that was actually a test run, and now they've test runned it back in 15, and now here in 2024.
Okay. I think we're talking about two different things. So you're talking about that, and I'm talking about what was happening a couple of years ago where they were giving, I guess, surplus military vehicles, you know, deuce and a half, so things of that nature, like sheriff's departments and police departments and, you know, things of that nature, you know. Or, I mean, basically, what did Obama say? I want a civilian force that's just as well trained and well, just as well armed as the military. That's what he said, right?
Nobody heard that. You know, most people didn't hear some of the stuff he said. Like he said that thing about, he used to say, well, I'm going to lead from behind. And I remember Rush Limbaugh say, he doesn't even know what a leader is. No, Rush Limbaugh doesn't understand a dictator. A dictator don't jump out front and lead the troop. He leads from behind.
he's working out psychology and situations and making sure that everything falls into place. Yeah, he's leaving from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when he left the White House, he had bought that house up there in D.C. You know, he was planning on staying.
Well,
but we all agree, I think, that the U.N. is as corrupt as any other, you know, government, too. So
now that we know how corrupt this guy, the dead man in the White House is, looking for the next. He wants his. He's already got his third term. This is his third. This is Obama's third term we're looking at. He's now looking to get a fourth and possibly a fifth term. And that's why the theory about possibly having Michelle run. Because he can be back.
He did say he was going to fundamentally change America. Remember that?
Yep. And
that
really,
that was right when he won the election.
And I have been seeing this for a few years now, reading comments on videos I watch. People have been seeing UN vehicles in their towns, in their counties. And this has been going on for several years. They've been seeing UN vehicles. And they wonder why.
You know, something else that a lot of people don't.
It was called Jade Helm, and it became a viral thing on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter about how they were coming and doing all this other stuff. And within a month, it played out as an internet hoax that people fell for once again. And when you guys are talking about the UN, remember the UN is majority funded by the United States of America. United States, China, and England have veto power within the UN. The UN is never coming to America and doing anything to anybody. The UN is a governing body that third world countries should fear, but first world countries have no worry about. So if you're doing atrocities in Africa and the United States and France and England all decide you got to go, they'll send the UN in and they'll remove you from power.
Oh, really?
That way, their hands
really?
Are dirty.
Oh, you
as
really
far
think
as
so?
The UN, no. It's controlled by the United States. They have the money and number one veto power. Matter of fact, Israel
you need to read
just
executive
lost
order.
In the international. Hold on. Israel just lost in international court by the case brought forward by South Africa. Will the UN be going into Israel and stopping the war? No, because the UN can't do that because the United States and Russia and China and, of course, England, they have veto power on what they can do. Like, don't let these people scare you.
Go look up Executive Order 12803.
You can go look up
wherever
you want to look up.
I'll give you
the whole history of them as a governing body and who they attacked and who they won't attack. Who has veto power, who doesn't.
Okay.
That's what you need to look into for the UN.
Executive orders associated with FEMA.
Don't hold.
Executive orders associated with FEMA and executive orders that suspend the Constitution and Bill of Rights, these executive orders are presidential and associated with the UN. There's about a dozen of them here. 10998, 10997, 10995, 11000. And go look up all those executive orders, how there's 800 prison camps in the United States alone, ready and operational, guarded by UN, okay? Well, they don't think they just put them there for the heck of it so we can drive by and say, look at how pretty. You know, all right? They're there for a reason. This government does what it does
emergency
for a reason.
Response.
Yeah, emergency response. Can we get a hurricane?
After Katrina, we were told they got all these FEMA camps and they're going to take you to the FEMA camp. The problem with the conspiracy theorists is when time plays out and the thing doesn't happen, then they just don't speak about it anymore. That's the problem.
No, it's because patriots myself are fighting against
that.
It. And we're stopping it. We're exposing it. That's why it doesn't happen. If people like myself shut up and didn't go out there and sacrifice and put our names out there on the line and go out there and expose these lies, then they would run all over us like nothing. That's why things don't happen.
So you and Alex
Jones
keeping us away from tyranny. All right.
Yep, just me and Alex Jones. He's my first lieutenant, yep.
You know, they got, we were talking a few years ago, and it kind of dropped out of our conversation, you know, but about the North American highway. But right now there's a 19,000 mile highway that connects us all together. So there is something being united here. It's real.
Transatlantic corridor.
And you think that's to take away your rights and the UN could come in as opposed to it being about commerce and moving goods?
Oh, yeah. They're just looking out for our best interest. Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They're not looking out for anybody's best interest but their bottom line. Profits. That's it. Like, I don't know.
They print the money. Why do they need profit? They print the money. Why do they need any more money?
No, it's why couldn't it be both? Why does it have to be either or? Couldn't it be both?
Man raised a reasonable question. Reasonable question right there. Can't knock that.
Yep.
It's about control. It's about control, controlling us. Every power-hungry individual in the world wants to control other individuals. That's what it's about.
Yeah, first
and that's why
everybody wants to rule the world.
There we go. That was a gem.
There we go.
Yep.
By the way, hi, Ron. And by the way, hopefully, I'll say it again, hopefully our friend Sarge will call in before, you know, your switchboard turns off.
Yeah, speaking of which, we only have 7 minutes left of the live broadcast. So, Sarge, or anybody else that's out there listening, if you want to continue listening, call in 563-999-3698 within the next 7 minutes before the live broadcast ends and as we go into the bonus hour. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
And I'll give y'all
something, man. I don't know if this is going to bother you, but I'll give you something. This is something I learned from a professor years ago. So the thing about conspiracy theories is when you discover the conspiracy, it's too late. It's an inaction type thinking. It's a way of putting you in a place to where you won't be a problem for them on the issues that they actually care about. You'll just fight on the periphery on things that are already done. So when I see people concentrating on conspiracies, it's like, okay, you're telling me that they did all this with the shot or they did all this with that, it's already done. It's like trying to argue with somebody about 9/11. You're not going to convince those people that terrorists didn't do that. So you can continue to argue with them if you want,
That's because when we're out there trying to warn people, we have individuals such as like yourself and others telling us we're crazy. But then it happens, and now all we do is damage control.
They talk about things like, and it's in the newspaper, and they put things like, what is it called? We will replace them, about the replacement theory, right? Which is demographic destiny, right?
Oh, good old Nazi theory. Why not bring that up?
Well, the thing is the theory ends up being a plan.
If they put it in the New York Times, and they continually talk about it, but they call us conspiracy theories, there's for bringing it up that they talk about this stuff, that they talk about it, not us. We're not the ones that continually talk about, you know, demographic destiny or the
replacement. There's too much evidence out there. There's too much evidence out there. You have actual recordings of Rockefellers talking about this stuff. Many of these rich power elite people that talk about this stuff, about killing all these people, controlling millions of people, killing them, easier to kill them than control them. You know, you have too much evidence out there.
Hey, even something happened more recently with the vaccine stuff, when all the national lamestream media were pushing, you know, get your shot. I think Lori Ann was referring to the America's Frontline Doctors, you know, americasfrontlinedoctors.org, Dr. Simone Gold and all the 2,000 or 3,000 of her affiliates that are getting together sharing, nope, this is not true. This is, you know, fake science, and stopmedicaldiscrimination.org, informedconsentdefense.org. I mean, just several different organizations were coming out letting everybody know this is Franken science, and even, you know, Robert Malone, the mRNA, whatever guy that helped discover that, and then the vice president of Pfizer, Michael Yeadon, he put out his videos and stuff saying this is evil, this is wicked, this is improper use of science. Them people saved millions of people's lives. And all the rest of the go get vax, you killed millions of people. So thank you for the time. Back to you, Lorraine.
Yeah. And you know, remember there was a TV show out years ago. It was called True TV or something with Jesse Ventura. He did an episode about the vaccines and stuff and this pandemic that was going to happen 10 years later. If you go back, most of them, you can't find those episodes anymore. They've been deleted, removed. So you go back, and they took him off, too, after the episode. They canceled him out because he was exposing all this crap that they were going to do.
So, or his ratings were low, and they canceled the show because of his ratings. You can find Jesse's shows on YouTube. I watch them all the time. I'm a fan of Jesse. I like Jesse. Doesn't mean he's right all the time. They've been talking about vaccines and pandemics for years, the possibly coming on of them. As a matter of fact, I gotta find it. But there's a book about future vaccines and future super viruses that we're going to have to deal with, and how pandemic response is going to be almost another area of government control and also government capability. Because think about it. When we get the next super bug that spreads because of globalization, things spread faster, we're going to see countries who can produce a vaccine or have the wealth to produce one and countries that can't, and we're going to look at the results of those. So it's not as simple as just saying all vaccines are evil. Of course, there was a vaccine they did in Puerto Rico that sterilized those people. They did that on purpose. So, yeah,
there's a history of vaccine abuse. My problem with the vaccine. Last shot is that the testing for the thing. Remember, think about this: how long did it take us to get the vaccine
for the Spanish flu,
polio? Correct. How long did it take us to get that thing correct?
I want to know what they're doing up at that space station all the time. What are they doing up there for all these years up there messing around? What are they doing, growing tomato plants, seeing how they grow? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. They're doing crap up there, bringing it back down here, you know. But they can't cure cancer, though.
You have that clip of Lorian?
But also, though, man, I don't know how to say this.
I think
they
might have just brought in Sarge, too. I think that might be him.
We'll
have a good time tonight.
Right.
There we go.
That's right. I heard all
but
this
again,
talk
about the guy y'all voted for is the one who said that. He said Operation Warp
Speed. All right. Let's get to brass tacks here, all right? Now, I listen to all this talk about the UN. There's five permanent members of the United Nations Security Council: China, Russia, the United States, United Kingdom. Now, we know the five members of the Security Council. We've got a vote on the Security Council and an automatic veto for anything that has to be with a Security Council resolution. Not every General Assembly resolution, but definitely the most important one. Guess who our representative on the Security Council is? Well, in case you don't know, it's Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield. And what she told us before she was nominated by the Senate was that white supremacy is ingrained in America's founding documents and principles. She made a big deal out of telling the world that the United States is a white supremacist country and its principles are white supremacists. Now, I don't know about you, Naj. I have no confidence in this woman's ability to project and or protect the United States interests in the United States Security Council. You can have it if you want to. I don't. And many of us who know who she is don't have it either.
Well, hold on, Sarge, because that's your own bias. When she gets into that UN chamber,
you're damn right it is. And I just told you why.
And I'm going to tell you why you're biased. She's going to vote how she's told to vote. She's going to raise her hand how she's told to raise her hand. Her personal opinions do not matter.
Oh, and you think Joe Biden is going to disagree with her much?
Raise her hand high to not have the ceasefire.
And you think Joe Biden is going to disagree with her overly much? I don't.
She gets her marching orders from D.C., and it ain't from Joe Biden.
Okay, all right. Well, see, now you're making my case even stronger.
Yeah, okay. Those people have no autonomy on how they're going to vote. They're told.
All right, see, I know you're ignoring my point over who she is, though. That just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all,
according to you. It's indicative of the mindset of this regime we are living under.
Okay.
That's the most important
thing. You can call it a regime, but that's
I
every
do.
Person who's
running. And I do. And I shall, as long as it continues to act like one.
During the Bay of Pigs,
and
they,
I have
we had
Montana
a
Joe
who had their own idea. No, they don't have a
question.
I'm bringing Montana Joe in, you guys, to say hello. He snuck his way in before the live broadcast ended. So, hey there, Joe.
Hey, Regan. Well, I am sure glad that I came in now. The debate between Sarge and Naj. I'm always glad to wait for that.
Let the fireworks begin.
Hold on one second. Let's get Joe's opinion on this. Joe, do you think any functionary of the United States who goes in to vote or give an opinion about the UN, do you think they're walking in there with their personal opinions, or they're giving marching orders and they're going to vote the way they're told and that's it?
Well, no, in Congress, are you talking about Congress or the ambassadors?
And the ambassador for the UN.
The ambassadors? Oh, hell no. They're giving the marching orders.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask Naj.
You know,
Naj,
I disagree with you.
Let me ask.
You know, you're missing my point, Naj. Missing my point. Putting a woman like that on the Security Council is indicative of the lack concern about legitimate interests of the United States in the UN Security Council. Yes, I know she's a functionary. You don't have to tell me that. It's indicative of the regime's mindset.
All right, man.
I need to ask Naj a question.
Let me guess.
Naj.
The question that's yes or no only can be answered in one way. Let me guess.
Okay. Do you trust your United States regime that we have in place right now enough to say that the United States would veto a UN coming into the United States with troops? Do you trust them? Do you really honestly trust them to say no?
No, I'll go further than that. I trust any American administration because, again, you guys are making the UN into this powerful entity that it is not. The UN is the lackey. The UN is the do boy. When we get somebody in the Caribbean acting a fool, some Cuban or Venezuelan leader doing something we don't like, that's when you send the UN in. But as far as major countries, countries with nukes, countries that matter, the UN will never step foot on their sovereign soil and won't cause a problem for any of those countries. They're basically their attack dog. So when you see Liberia, we say, hey, the guy in Liberia is committing atrocities. We've got to remove him. France, United States, Russia, you know, they all vote, and they decide, bam, we're going to send the UN down there. That's how that works.
You did not answer the question.
I did.
You never will.
Listen, I need you to pick up the pace with your ears. I told you, yes, I trust any American regime with that because the UN is not the factor you guys think it is. I need y'all to look up UN votes. I need y'all to look in UN protocols. I need y'all to look in when we've sent the UN into other nations and how powerful or powerless those nations were. They're not coming to America, bro.
Naj, I've read the UN Charter. The Article 4, I believe, of the UN Charter specifically prohibits United Nations to interfere in the internal affairs of another nation. Now, we know how that works out in practice.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what it says in the Charter. But we know how the United Nations operates. They pull the strings of others, so they do it by proxy on behalf of the UN. So let's not play games here with what the UN does.
Matter of fact, when you see, like, us put up a new base in some country that really doesn't matter, and all of a sudden you see that country voting with us in the UN, that's the quid pro quo sometimes. Sometimes we want an extra vote for other issues, so we'll do something for one of these smaller nations and then use them in the UN as a way of, you know, wielding the hammer. But again, you guys' whole idea about the UN being this separate global powerful entity that can come in and take over the United States, no, not at all.
No, Naj, it isn't. Nobody, I'm not claiming that it is, Naj. It aspires to be that. And all we have to do is let our guard down long enough, and believe me, it de facto will become that, if not the jury.
It
will.
And think about this, guys.
So who would fund it? You know, 55% of the UN budget comes from the United States, right?
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
You don't think China can maybe put up 35% of that or more? I do.
Think about this, guys. It's been proven that Joe Biden has been paid off by China, right? So if he's been paid off by China and he's given the orders.
Y'all take small pieces of evidence and take that as proof and walk forward with it.
And he's given the
orders that he has been paid off by China.
How do you think she's going to vote? How do you think she's
going
to vote?
It is not. No. You went forward with a hypothetical that you believe to be true that you don't have proof of. You think he's being bought out by China. In actual reality, his performance has been that he's an adversary to China. He sent Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan to rattle their cage.
He's a foreign agent. That's how come.
How come he can't be a bumbling, old, raggedy senator who's not that good at his job?
This is
what I mean about some people on the right. Instead of him being an old, bumbling, raggedy senator from the East Coast, y'all turn him into a Chinese Manchurian candidate.
He is what he is. He's corrupt, and part of his corruption is money from China for his son.
Yeah, this is nonsense. First of all, why would China...
Why do you think it's nonsense, Naj, when this Ron Johnson and Matt Gaetz have proof that he is, that his son... Matt Gaetz, of course. What you're going by is, Congress hasn't put it yet, therefore Biden is innocent of any type
of
wrongdoing.
I've looked at all
So let's say, for example, I misunderstood what your intentions are, what your thoughts are about Joe Biden's and his illegal type of mindset. The thing is that there probably is proof that Biden is under the influence of China
probably
or anybody else.
Probably is proof.
Okay?
Probably is proof.
All right? If you may not believe it, but since it has been exposed that it is proof, I'm going to go along with that. Also with the fact that Joe Biden in the past has spoken on the floor of Congress talking about a new world order. He's not just a bumbling fool. He is somebody who is there to fulfill a purpose. And it wouldn't matter who the president is. As far as I'm concerned, he could even be Trump, which I know a lot of guys are staking their lives on. The thing is that China itself, nor the UN, are by themselves the things that we have to worry about. I still believe that the Rothschilds are in charge of everything and anything that's important on this planet, including the UN and NATO. So, you know, All right, you can talk about the UN all you want, but I think that the family with the money. I know I'm bringing it up. The family with the trillion.
Hold on. Before we move on, let's get into what Joe just said. So the idea is that China needs to pay off Joe Biden. This is the other part that I have a big problem with all of y'all. The bribes are legal now. That's the part that you guys aren't understanding. Hunter Biden, drug addict that he is, went over there and hustled up some money to people who didn't know better and gave him some money. But the people who did know better, you know how they gave money to Joe Biden? A super PAC. The same way they gave money to Trump, a super PAC.
Again,
that is legal now.
The
idea that you're going to take
you're
a
not
bribe.
Getting
no,
the point, Nash.
No, you're not getting
the point.
You're not getting the point. You're not getting the point. No, brother, I'm trying to finish.
All right,
we're
not talking over each other, all right?
Well, clearly I was talking. Clearly I was talking.
No.
This idea that you're going to take envelopes full of cash as opposed to regular checks that come to you that are legit, legal, above board. You don't have to worry about any criminal prosecution or anything else, and you just take the money. You guys think this is the 70s where you needed to get a briefcase full of money and drop it off for somebody. That doesn't exist anymore.
I think
that's
everybody knows
got
that
in trouble.
Super PACs
he's a communist.
Are influential. Okay, but why don't you let Mike finish his point, and then maybe
let him go, but don't act like I interrupted him. He interrupted me, Joe. Right. Don't come in here with that bull. Don't come on that bull.
I want to do that, Nas, and you interrupted me.
Okay.
And then Mike was there anyway before I started speaking.
You passed the mic, Joe.
This is an actual act. It's called the FARA Act, Foreign Agent Registration Act, right? It's okay to be a lobbyist for another government. You just got to register to be that lobbyist, right? Neither Biden or his son is registered under that act to do what they're doing, so they're illegally lobbying for a foreign government.
Nash, you can take money from a foreign government. There's nothing illegal about getting money from a foreign government. Take money for a foreign government and promise a favor or influence an official decision, then you are guilty of the act of bribery. And especially if you don't declare it on your taxes.
True.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, influence wielding. Influence peddling.
Now we're talking in the real world. Yeah, exactly.
Now, my question for Laurie Ann, do you have that clip that I put in the chat room a little bit earlier?
Is it the, where did it go? Here's a few haymakers, that one?
Yes.
See. I see it. I have not uploaded it yet. I don't really know what it is. What is it about? Here's a few haymakers. What is that about?
Yeah, it's about all the money that's been paid out and all the, basically what we were talking about earlier about all the stuff that was the $900 million and stuff that was a $1 billion or whatever it was that was left in Afghanistan of the weapons and shit, you know. We were talking about that earlier about all the weapons that were left there that would probably, you know, going
to
come back.
I got a quick question, too. When y'all are scouring the internet and all of your sources tell you that your side is right and the other side is evil, that don't ever raise an eyebrow to y'all?
About the same as it does when the leftists take a look at the Daily Caller and the other leftist papers.
You know what, Naj? I don't care what anybody says, Naj. See, I'm capable of evaluating the evidence for and against someone being evil or not. And that's what I do in every single instance. When somebody tells me that aborting 65 million babies since 1973 is an act of kindness, I say that person is not just evil, they are demonic.
My question.
Interesting.
You going to support my campaign?
Hey man, if you're saying they did to you what you're saying they did to you, then you know what? I actually do, man. Because if you went out as a legit candidate and the Republican Party decided they were going to stop your campaign before it started, then that's wrong. That's illegal. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. So,
that's very honorable of you. Thank you very much.
Just like what they did to Kerry Lake, right?
Well, I mean, this appears to be a Republican issue, right? So how come you guys are mad at the Democrats all the time?
That's the key word here with Naj. He said Republican. He didn't say Democratic. If it was if you were a Democratic nominee, he might have given you a different answer, Joe.
Before you ask the question, in the two instances where we had a party trying to push somebody out because they weren't the candidate that they wanted, that wasn't okay, and okay, damn, they came from the same party. Damn, the party that's trying to take the man off the ballot in Nevada, that's the Republican Party. How come you guys never have any smoke for these people? Weird.
Naj, it's very easy to throw around terms like Trump is a dictator, okay? You say that. You know, but I ask you to furnish the evidence of dictatorial activity, because we know what a dictator has specific terms. It means one man ban unilaterally providing policy against the wishes of any other body that also has authority. Now, there was scant evidence that Trump acted like a dictator throughout his presidency, but I have ample evidence of the Biden regime acting in a dictatorial manner, but that term often seems to elude him, at least by those who want to provide all the news. And I will be willing to give you the evidence of Joe Biden's dictatorial tendencies, and I will ask you to show me Trump's, and you will not be able to provide me with very much evidence to support it. So, again, I'm a guy who is evidence-driven. Show me the evidence. Show me the evidence.
I have a question.
Hold on, Mikey.
This is going to be nice, okay, between Sarge and Naj. The evidence that needs to be forthcoming to prove each other's points. This is going to be worthwhile listening to. Okay?
Joe, did you notice how he avoided what I brought up, which was the Republican Party appears to be trying to stifle populist candidates within its own party, and Sarge immediately went to some dictator thing.
Well, he went
there,
but let me answer the question for you. I don't think any conservative here is going to be on the side of any Republican trying to welch the ambitions of any other honest star, seemingly honest politician. So let that answer be the good one. You're equating
the internal squabbles of a political party with the actions of a president of the United States creating public policy through legislation, law, and executive order. That ain't flying with me, sir. You got to do better than that.
All I can say in regards to that, and Naj talking about the Republicans, all I can say is two words: Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
DNC super delegate.
Bingo! Bingo!
But again, it's avoiding addressing it by bringing up the raggediness on the other side. I would prefer that you address your own party and say, hey, they're doing this that's wrong. Yeah,
I was not referring to the internal squabbles of a political party. I'm looking at public policy with regard to dictatorial activity. And I can show you ample evidence of it in the Biden administration.
Because you want to
begin.
Let us.
Yeah, you're injecting something else because you want to avoid.
And I'm giving you just as much, if not more, that the Democrats do than the Republicans do. Okay, you talked about this thing in Nevada. Let's talk about, does the Republican Party have a concept called superdelegates? No. The Democrats do. And what do they do with the superdelegates? Come on.
Oh, they kick Bernie.
Okay, you know better than that.
Sarge, you ready to present evidence?
Evidence of what?
Of what, Sarge? Just bring it up. About the dictatorial policy between...
Wait a minute. There are no dictatorial policies by either party. Is that what you're saying?
Let me go to the Bible on y'all. Joe Biden becomes manna from heaven. In one instance, y'all say he's this doddering old idiot who can't read and can't write, can't step, and needs to be out of office and shot in the back of the yard. And then the next step, y'all make him this mischievous political figure.
Lorianne, can I take over for a second and be
the
informal co-host?
You didn't listen to what I just said. You didn't listen to what I just said.
Right.
Joe, take the floor. Hold it, everybody. Lorianne has gave me the power of the co-hosting, and right now, since Sarge issued a challenge to Naj, are you ready to accept that challenge?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to be the moderator, which means I'm going to interrupt. So, Naj, are you going to accept that challenge?
Let's go, man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, so, Naj, everybody, before we do this, anybody has any last words that only last about 2 minutes before we get into this? Because this is going to be very nice and interesting. Anybody, Mike, boy,
Fred,
anybody.
I have a couple of things for Naj. One is this. Naj is talking about happening within the Republican Party. Think about this. They kicked Madison Cawthorn out because somebody within the Republican Party came and wanted to get him to go to sex parties, and he wasn't supposed to let it out, and he did. All right? That's number one. Number two, Naj, do you believe that the Hunter Biden laptop is real?
No.
Okay. That answers that. Boyd, you got anything?
Not at this time. I want to hear the evidence.
Okay. Sorry, Mikey. Boy, Naj said no, so that takes, that eclipses it. So, okay. So we got Sarge versus Naj. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. What are you talking about?
We want to cite evidences of dictatorial activity. Now, I know you want to try to make a big deal out of this deal with the Republican Party in Nevada, but I kind of like, even though I could cite a lot of examples of dictatorial activity in the Democratic Party, I prefer to leave that alone. I prefer to talk about public policy once they are elected to office. That is more important to me. So that's what I'm talking about when I say it. And when I said that the Biden regime, the administration, is conducting itself in a dictatorial manner, I didn't say Biden. I agree with your assessment of him as senile, addled, out of touch, and manipulated. He is all of that. The people surrounding him, his advisors, his coterie, his eminence greasy behind his throne. They are the ones who are doing it. And that's the ones I'm concentrating on.
Your reply, Naj?
Okay. I would say your point. When he talks about the people who've been in, foreign affairs for 40 years, they don't care about presidents. Presidents come and go every 4 to 8. Those people have an oversized influence on U.S. foreign policy, especially. And domestic policy, they could really care less about. But the problem Sarge is going to run into is when he presents the Democratic Party as some machine that is efficient enough to act as a dictator, and that's where his argument is going to fall apart. So, yeah, I'm here.
Again, you missed the words I keep saying. I use the words I do for a meaning. Dictatorial tendencies, inclination. They often fail because they're not only are they stupid and reckless and overreached, they're frequently incompetent. Now, if they were competent dictators, you're right. They might be more successful, but they're pretty bad at what they do when it comes to actually implementing policy that is positive and appears efficient. That's what it's
saying.
Not because they don't try. Not because they don't try, Nas.
I can't wait for the evidence on this one. Yeah, I can't wait for the evidence
okay.
on this one.
All
and
right.
just... And just for
let's take a look at
well,
one
on,
that,
put,
that skirts
damn.
The boundary that is very
let
public
him
right
him.
Now.
Sarge, let him up. Let me shove for a second. And
oh,
then
I thought he was finished. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go
no
ahead,
problem.
Nas. I thought you were finished. So I was going to give you an example.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Joe, me and Joe have talked for years, so Joe knows me. Just for the people who are here. I think Sarge is kind of presenting things as if I'm a Democrat. Joe will tell you himself, I'm
no,
way
no, you're not
Democratic
a Democrat.
Party.
No, I don't think you're a Democrat, Nas. No, I don't think that.
Here,
I don't think that, Nas. I don't think you are. I used to. I used to, but I don't think that anymore. I don't think that anymore.
Okay.
You just might align yourself with them from time to time, but I don't think you're a Democrat, okay?
Hey, Montana Joe, point of order. Oh, what is it, John?
Nas sounds like he's off access to his mic. I'm having a hard time hearing him. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sure, no problem.
Really?
I don't have a problem with him. But does anybody else have a problem hearing Nas?
I've
heard it up,
I'm not hearing
no,
him.
No, I am. I get him fine. I am just fine.
Anybody not?
I've heard
Nas always seems to sound kind of far away. He always kind of sounds like he's a bit far away from his mic, and I wish that I could like adjust volume on the callers somehow on the switchboard. That would be nice so that I could pump up volume for people that whose audio isn't so great, like that. But I can hear you, Nas, but it you do usually sound far away.
Yes,
well,
you
maybe
two hands.
You just,
maybe you just want to.
I need to hold
microphone.
A Corona and a cigarette in the other hand. Come on, man.
Jesus. All right. In any case, while you're adjusting your mic or the distance to the mic, Nas, go ahead, Sarge, with the evidence, please, and then Nas.
Rather than give a laundry list of things, I'd prefer to go over one at a time. We hash them back and forth, then we can move on to
that's
the next
good.
Thing. I'll start
that's
off
good.
With. One that skirts what you know that I don't think is an outright example of dictatorial instincts and inclinations, but one that kind of skirts the line, goes right up to the border. It's this electrical vehicle push, the mandates from the federal government on private industry, the orders that by such and such a time, so many, what percentage of vehicles sold will be electrical vehicles, the requirements to put in charging stations, and all this sort of thing. That's a typical example of the Biden regime and the way through mandates and through bureaucratic regulatory agencies, they unilaterally adopt policies that are not specifically codified in legislation passed by Congress. They regularly do it. You take with the EPA, the ATF. They take Chevron deference to the most extreme possible every single time in order to implement more and more regulation, which is the hallmark of dictatorial regime.
Okay, now here's what I'm going to suggest, guys. Since we do have, besides you two, we do have Boyd, John Doe, and we have Mikey on the line. So in order not to make this a, just a two-man show, how about you presented that, Nas? You usually are very succinct in your, well, sometimes you're succinct in your responses. after your response, then let Sarge reply to that. One more from you, and then Boyd, John Doe, and Mikey can come in and make their comments. So, guys, the rest of the guys, you won't have to wait more than just a few minutes. Sarge, you've already given your presentation. Nas, your reply, please.
Yeah, so this is not something that's limited to the Democratic Party. This is a uniparty issue as far as when big business comes in and captures our government in the form of not only spending money, but also the amount of money that they're able to extract from the government. So who's the big boss when it comes to electric cars? Of course, Tesla, Elon Musk. What has Tesla gotten from the U.S. government? Over $5 billion from the U.S. government in grants and loans given to him to operate this business to influence the idea of electric cars being the next frontier because of what we have to deal with. So, again, this is not a Democrat problem alone. It's a Republican problem as well. But also, when I talk to Republicans and they say regulations and they say it with so much spite in their voice, I'm kind of reminded of that 16-year-old who died in that chicken factory a couple of weeks ago because we've been lax on regulations because one thing capitalism needs is guide rails and regulations. That's the only way capitalism operates at high efficiency. So these people who tell you regulations are the problem, these are the people who want to take us back to the days of child labor, of people dying on the job, of companies not compensating workers. Do y'all know that that company where that 16-year-old died in the chicken factory, they paid a $200,000 fine and turned the factory back on, kept business going, business as usual. Upton Sinclair warned us about this in the jungle. We've learned about these things for a long time. So don't be so against regulation that you become a corporatist and now you're pushing for a corporate state where companies run the country as opposed to people who are supposed to represent us that we send to D.C.
Well,
okay,
I didn't say I was against regulation per se. Regulation that is in accordance with the Constitution, such as legitimate attempts by Congress to regulate interstate commerce so as to promote interstate commerce rather than restrict it unduly, I have no objection to. What I have an objection to, however, is that sort of thing that is unilateral, largely by one, with a view held by one political party mainly, and is done without debate or any meaningful participation with explicit language and legislation, what I'm talking about by dictatorial. Now, let me give you another one. You had spring of last year. We had something I never thought I would see publicly expressed by an agency of the United States government, not even during the House Un-American Activities Committee hearing stuff. The Biden regime came up with a notion called the Government Disinformation Board, headed by Nina Jankowicz. Remember her? And in case you don't know, remember anything about Nina Jankowicz, I mean, this woman was some kind of double piece of work. This woman was she was a disinformation fellow at the Wilson Center. She advised Ukrainian Foreign Ministry as part of the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. She oversaw Russian Belarus programs at the National Democratic Institute. And they were going to put her in charge of it. And it wasn't until, and it kind of died a morning because people got wind of it before they were ready to roll the whole thing out. And people mocked it. They ridiculed. They said, oh, hell no, hell no. But they're still trying to get it done. I'd like to point out, I would like you to point out to me anything Donald Trump did that was comparable to a notion like this. I mean, Donald Trump, anything he came up with that was comparable to anything like the Ministry of Truth that the Biden administration is trying to implement with policy and with our tax dollars.
Okay, thanks. Okay. That was good. All right, Naj, you and then after you.
Yeah.
And then we get the rest of the guys, all right? Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, so, again, this is another problem that you're assigning to the Democratic Party, which is actually a global problem that you see every country trying to address. We're in a different age. We're in the disinfo age, and this is something that every country has to deal with. So we go back to Cambridge Analytica over in Britain, when they had the Brexit situation, where after the vote was done, and they found out how many lies those folks had told, it didn't matter because they voted for Brexit. Now England is feeling the ramifications of that, not being connected to the EU in the way that they were. Now they're losing money, and their country is losing status. Let's go to America. Yeah. What do we have at that pizza shop, Comet Pizza, where somebody was told that kids were being trafficked, so he went in that place with a shotgun and let off a round because he was trying to protect children. Why? Because he was told lies on the Internet. Let's go to Texas, where a couple of years ago, people were told Antifa was coming to their town on Facebook. The people gathered in the town square with guns, waiting on Antifa, and nobody showed up because there was a kid who had made it to laugh and troll those people while they were, you know, getting worked up about so-called Antifa coming. So why am I giving you these examples? Because we live in a different age, and this is something that each party is going to have to address. Now, how they do it, that's a whole other conversation, because the idea of the government coming in and saying, well, everything else is false, what we're going to tell you is the truth, that's something nobody should believe. So, of course, that was a bad idea, and that's one thing me and Sarge will agree on, that idea to bring that board forward was always going to fail. And guess what? The checks and balances of the United States government proved that that didn't work. They chucked it. They got rid of it because it wasn't a good idea.
30-second wrap up, man.
Now, how do we address this information going forward? Because you guys are Trump supporters. Do y'all know what Democrats are reading about Trump supporters online? Do y'all know what they're reading about Trump on Facebook and YouTube? Not just people y'all talk to. Talk about the people y'all don't talk to. Think about what they're being told about Trump. And get an idea on how disinformation is a problem that we have to solve. I'm done.
Okay. All right.
Let's move on to the next.
Hold on.
Let's move on to the next indicator.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sarge, he clearly told you we were going to hear from everybody
else. Naj, please. Naj. We're going to have Boyd and Michael and John Doe pipe in. So who wants to go first? Nobody?
I'll fill in the vacuum while they're waiting to respond.
Okay. No, Sarge, wait your turn.
No, I think we got somebody, Sarge. Okay. Who is it?
Okay.
This is Boyd.
Nobody?
No, this
Come
is
on,
Boyd.
Come on, guys. You're gonna pipe it otherwise.
Hello.
Who is
Hello?
It?
Yeah, I hear
Boyd.
Boyd.
Can you hear me?
Go first,
Who
Boyd.
Is it?
I can hear you.
Okay, this is Boyd.
It's Boyd the Alaskan. Boyd, B-O-Y-D the Alaskan.
Boyd, okay. What's up?
Yeah.
All right. Lorianne, if you don't mind, I'd like to restrict either 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Which is best for you?
Oh, I don't know how long it's going to take me, but I have only a couple of... I only have one thing on this right now, and that's the dereliction of duty from Congress. And Congress is not passing regulation. Congress passes a law, supposedly a law, and every law that they pass, the final paragraph on that law states, this bill authorizes the secretary to write the regulations to enforce this law. Now, the secretary gets the law and he starts to write the regulations to enforce that particular law that Congress has passed. The secretary, by writing regulations, can absolutely and totally make that law of what Congress had intended. And that you can look at, that you can look up and find with any law and regulation that's out there and the law that supposedly supports it. Now, Congress is dereliction in their duty because the regulations that the secretary writes up need to go back to Congress since they didn't take the time to write the regulations with the law and approve those regulations.
That's it, Boyd. Thank
that
you.
They went for the intent of the law.
Thank you. Okay.
Good point.
Now, guys, it is now 20 minutes until the end of the show. So if everybody starts talking for 4 minutes, 5 minutes apiece, there are going to be people who are going to be left out. So right now we've got Mikey and we've got John Doe left for them to make some comments. And then after that, Lorianne can ask me to continue with what I'm doing or we can do something else. So go ahead, Mikey or John Doe.
Okay, I will go. Okay.
Okay.
One, which regime came up with a letter that from a particular group of people that basically said that people that showed up at school board meetings were terrorists. All right? Which group of people, which person did that? Unfortunately, you don't believe that the Hunter Biden laptop is real, right, Nash? So wait.
Okay, so you're asking me these questions. Okay.
Yeah, I'm asking you these questions. Okay.
Okay.
So you don't believe it's real, right? Okay. There's a slip from the store that has his name, his address, his telephone number, how much it cost, the name of the guy that owned the computer store. There's the computer has a Biden family sticker on it. All right, the computer is, you know, has all his illicit videos from his using his crack and all that stuff. Plus, it has emails from different things about him and the big guy.
Yeah, 20 seconds, Mike.
Giving the money to the big guy. So there you go. Why do you not believe it's
so
real?
Before you answer, Nash.
If you leave a space, it doesn't give the other brother fair time for his question. Let me give him fair time for his question.
Hold on, Nash.
I didn't.
Okay, Nash, please.
I'm not talking, brother. Go ahead.
Okay.
I tried to help you.
Okay. Dope. Nothing?
No, I'm good.
All right. All right. So since that question was for you, then go ahead, Nash. Then after that, we go back to Boyd. Do you want to finish up on anything? If not, then we'll go back to the debate between Nash and Sarge. Go ahead, Nash. Answer his question.
Yeah. So again, my question wasn't that. My point wasn't that the laptop didn't exist. My point was the chain of custody of the laptop, where all of a sudden it gets into the hands of Rudy Giuliani, and you guys buy it hook, line, and sinker, and I say, sounds a little shaky to me. Let's say we found the laptop of Barron Trump, and the chain of custody was a pawn shop, another guy in the DNC, and then Barack Obama comes out and says, hey, I got Barron Trump's laptop. You wouldn't take that seriously, so I don't know why you guys take this one seriously. But, you know, good luck with that, man.
Well, Mike, you already stated that they had the name, the address, the other kind of
again,
information on the laptop that was brought back.
The chain of custody to end that Rudy Giuliani is a problem. And if you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, Rudy Giuliani may or may not have been an informal part of the chain of custody, but he did. I don't know if he presented. No, he didn't present the laptop at the legislature. But you got a point.
He held a presser and presented it, yes.
So what do you say to that, Mike? And then Boyd, and then we go back to Sarge and Nash.
Just for you to know, Mike. Okay, just for Nash to know, okay, how long did he leave that laptop in that computer store? He left it over 30 days, right? Once you do that, it's no longer his. It becomes the ownership. The ownership goes to that guy who owns that computer store, and he can do whatever the hell he wants with it. So
exactly,
the chain of custody on how he got to it doesn't matter.
So you're making this point, Mike, because if it's supposed to be in a part of an official investigation, the chain of custody has to be part of it. I would assume, and since the chain of custody probably either wasn't set or was malfunctioned or it was violated, that kind of makes Nigel's point. But Boyd, you go ahead, and then we go back to Sarge and Nigel. Go ahead, Boyd.
Well, you know, the chain of custody is bullshit. The guy took a look to see what was on the hard drive. He saw what was on the hard drive. He knew that it was Hunter Biden's hard drive, computer, and his laptop, because he was the one who dropped it off. At that point, when he saw what was on the hard drive and the criminal activity that was going on the hard drive, He turned a hard drive over to the authorities. Chain of custody. You know, if I find a gun that's out there on the ground, and I turn it into the cops, and the gun happened to be used in a murder of something, you know, does that break the chain of custody because I turned it into the cops? No, it just
it doesn't even
chain of custody.
No. Yeah. Okay. So if you want to use that
as an analogy,
go ahead.
Plus, the FBI last year admitted that the computer
was his.
The computer owned by Hunter Biden.
Hold on, Nosh.
We all know this. That's why I asked.
Hold on,
Nosh.
All right, you finished, Boyd?
Yes, sir.
Hmm. Okay. No, so you want to jump in on this particular topic, or do you want to continue
with
the...
Absolutely. Before I go on to my next example of dictatorial actions by the or dictatorial inclinations and or actions by the Biden regime, I'd like to talk about chain of custody, since I have been responsible for maintaining chain of custody dozens and dozens and dozens of times in my career. Look, we can talk about informal chain of custody is all we want. I mean, we have a chain of custody. I let somebody borrow my laptop, and the person who I let it borrow gave it to somebody else when they did it, and nobody maintains a log at a time, the events, or the dates. But when it comes to an official governmental agency taking control of property for purposes of adjudication, law enforcement, or other official purpose, at that point, a formal chain of custody must be established with dates, times of every person handling, where it was stored, when it was turned over, what condition it was in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about formal chain of custody. I mean, when it's in private hands, who knows what's done to it? That's the purpose of adjudication. When you present evidence in court, then the defense counsel has an opportunity to impeach it. And the prosecution can establish why it's a valid piece of evidence for purposes of proof for which it is offered. So let's not confuse private ownership of something and hand it around from one person to the other with a formal chain of custody. It's two different kettle of fish entirely. It ain't the same thing. But let me get down here with another example of the Biden administration's excesses. This was
I want to interrupt for just a second, Sarge. I just want to ask Naj a question. You brought up a good point about the chain of custody, which Sarge has addressed. Do you have any, you may have some kind of speculation, do you have any reason, any proof that the chain of custody, okay, which you're talking about, which was violated, was that violated by whom, when, and where?
Yeah, I would suggest you go to the New York Times story on the Hunter Biden laptop. I would suggest you go to Vox story about the Hunter Biden laptop, and you'll read some of the things that I was able to see over the years about this non-story that the right wing is so obsessed with, that when you really look at it, what you find is he has a drug addict son. Do y'all really, again, do y'all really think that he's going to run whatever scheme he's running through his drug addict son as opposed to some DNC staffer or bag man that would know how to handle things competently? Y'all tell me Biden is the dumbest man on earth? Then y'all tell me he's been politically calculated Machiavellian figure. So again, y'all making this dude into a minor for heaven.
What?
He fits whatever argument y'all want. What? Brother, why are you interrupting me? I didn't interrupt you. Y'all make Biden into whichever argument y'all want it to fit. So when he's dumb, you make him into the stuttering fool that he is. But when you want him to be this conniving political operator, then you make him dumb enough to have Hunter Biden as the damn bag man. So, again, conspiracy theories are simple, and they're free and cheap, and they're everywhere. But actual practice and study and research, that stuff goes a long way.
All right, hold on, guys. Hold on, guys, just for a second. Hold on, guys. Mike, Lorianne, I'm going to land my plane, as it were. I'm going to resign my position right now. And I'm bringing the total ownership back to you. And thanks for letting me be the co-host for
Okay, for the 30 minutes.
Yeah,
here.
You make
Thanks.
A good moderator. You're definitely very skilled at moderating the conversation, so I appreciate it. No problem. And, yeah, we have, like, about 9 minutes left of the bonus hour before we go into no man's land. So the show will continue. It just won't be part of the recording, just so everybody knows. But,
okay, so Lorianne, I'm about to head on over. Ron Reck has started a show over there, so I'm about to head on over to Ron Reck's show.
Later.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, so far we got Mike, Donnie, Boyd, Gunslinger, Daniel and Kathy are still showing the line, John Doe, Cinnamon, Joe Gibson, Naj, Sarge, Robert has also been sitting back listening, Nathan. So, yeah, we've definitely had a full house tonight here.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Cinnamon, I'm sorry for tonight. I don't know why y'all didn't kick that damn field goal. Y'all had him, and y'all let him off the hook.
The chain of custody issue is it went from because he did what he did, it went from him to the computer store guy to the once again, the law is once somebody stores your object and you don't come back and get it after 3 months, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you come back after that. It becomes the guy's, he becomes the ownership of it, and he can do whatever the hell he wants with it. He decided that he's going to give it to Rudy Giuliani. Gave it to Rudy Giuliani. Doesn't matter.
Okay,
so,
okay. That's
that
right there.
Right, and Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani.
Let's talk. Let's hold, guys.
Hold on, just one second,
please. Lorianne, can I take this back for about 5 minutes?
Kate,
absolutely. Go ahead.
No.
Let me ask that brother.
Because
question.
I interrupted.
Let me ask that brother.
And hold on, Naj. And Sarge was going to answer, so I don't want everybody jumping all over and on his tongue. So Mikey just did that. Mikey's supposed to be going to Ron Reck. Sarge will answer your question, Naj. And
no,
so I don't want...
Let me get a response first, not Sarge. No, let me get a response first, because he's addressing me anyway.
Hold on, Naj. I'll ask Sarge first, okay? Sarge,
now,
is it okay
you
with you?
Now, don't seem
because
like
I'm the moderator, and I want things to go
That's
a certain
shady.
Way, and you're interrupting. That's why.
That's shady.
So go ahead, Sarge. Is it okay with you? Then we go back to you, Sarge, and Naj. And then I'll turn it back over to Lorianne. That's the answer,
Yeah, because, look, Rudy Giuliani, even though once upon a time he was a United States attorney, he was a private citizen when he came in possession of that laptop. He was not responsible for maintaining a formal chain of custody. What he is responsible for is telling the truth if he's in a deposition or under oath as to how he came into it. And what he did, turn it over to FBI official. That's what he did. Chain of custody did not start until it came into custody of an FBI agent. He was a private citizen. He was not responsible for maintaining chain of custody. As Naj pointed out, all the methods and the reasons you can impeach that laptop has not been valid. Fine. That's what the trial is for. That does not invalidate Rudy Giuliani's actions in and of themselves by simply coming into possession of it and then turning it over to the requisite official. It does not. He was not responsible for maintaining a formal legal chain of custody. That's what the government officials are obligated to do. So that one affected it no matter what. It's still evidence. And evidence is always subject to impeachment. So let Hunter Biden's defense attorneys or anybody else attempt to impeach the evidence. That'll stand for itself under oath, under cross-examination.
And now, Naj, you got the floor. You can address either Sarge or Mikey. And then, right now, I'm now leaving the planet and turning it back on to Lorianne again. Thanks, Lorianne. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so again, I'll just use a similar analogy. I use a similar analogy. If I found Barron Trump, or let's do Don Jr. I found Don Jr.'s laptop, and I turn it into Nancy Pelosi. Do you think that's good judgment? If Nancy Pelosi has his laptop, and then we present it as, hey, look what this guy was doing. Look what he did. No, that's the whole point of the chain of custody problem here. And the fact that you don't see that, I don't know what to tell you, brother. If you think Rudy Giuliani is an honest arbiter who doesn't have his thumb on the scale in this scenario, then I guess that's why you're holding on to this laptop theory so long, man. Y'all need to let that go. This is nonsense,
see, once again,
a non-story that will go nowhere.
I specifically mentioned, Nash, how the evidence is subject to impeachment for the very reasons you outlined, didn't I? I didn't say that Rudy Giuliani is to be believed like some sort of saint. Arguments you raise be presented at trial when and if the evidence is admitted into trial, at trial court.
That's what the defense attorney said.
But see, here's what you do. You are the one dismissing it out of hand. I'm not doing either on either side when it comes to evaluating it objectively for its value as evidence. You are the one that's putting it to a subjective determination. Not me, Nash. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. You just did it. You said you can't trust it because Rudy Giuliani said it. You just did that.
Yes. Yes,
you say, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that's what you're doing. I'm saying let Rudy Giuliani give it to the FBI. Let Rudy Giuliani come in court, tell us what he did with it when he had it, put him under oath, and then we decide on that basis. See, that's what I'm saying. You're saying dismiss it because Rudy Giuliani gave it to him. You said that. Your subjective opinion is it is worthless because Rudy Giuliani had it.
Yes. You don't give a piece of evidence.
Well, then that's why you don't. Obviously, you don't believe in evaluating evidence objectively for its value. You clearly don't believe that.
That's dumb.
Well, you don't believe it. Well, I rest my case, sir. You just made it for me. I rest it.
Yeah,
I'm resting.
Rest the case that you guys lost.
Hey, the prosecution rest. The prosecution rest now.
He just
defeats himself.
Yeah.
He said because someone gave it, someone who he does not trust politically gave it, therefore it has no value as evidence. That's not the way the system works.
Well, the incentives for him to do something to the computer outweigh the idea of him having it as an honest arbiter.
No, that's not the way the rules of evidence work. No, sir. Rules of evidence do not work that way, sir. Rules of evidence do not work the way you just said.
Why did y'all lose
this
court? So why did y'all lose? Why did y'all lose?
We didn't lose the court. That laptop is still evidence to be submitted in the cases right now that Hunter Biden's been indicted on.
You lost. Hunter Biden
didn't lose anything in court.
Right
he
now.
Hasn't gone to court yet. That sweetheart deal got blown up by the federal judge.
That dude is walking free as a bird, man.
We are waiting right now. He hasn't gone to trial yet on his current charges, some of which may or may not be proven by the evidence on the laptop. You're doing your victory dance prematurely, buddy. You ain't been paying attention.
Nah, I think you're doing a bad job of presenting the Dems as dictatorial. I don't think the evidence.
Wait a minute. I haven't done that yet. We're talking about the laptop. I want to go back to the dictatorial evidence of the Democrats. We've gotten off that.
Well, you're 0-2 so far. Let's see if you can hit something.
Oh, please. I'm batting 1,000. That I'm certain of. Wait till you hear what I got to say about the student loan forgiveness. Guess what the Supreme Court, guess who the Supreme Court quoted when they gave a 6-3 decision against your dictator, Joe Biden? They quoted Nancy Pelosi. This is what they quoted in the opinion of the court. People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress. Nancy Pelosi said that. The Supreme Court quoted it in a decision against the dictator, Joe Biden.
So you think he's a dictator when he presented this formally?
You keep not listening to words I use. I said the dictatorial tendencies of the Biden administration. He was not successful in becoming a dictator because the court struck him down. If he didn't have the court, he would have been a dictator.
Yeah, this is nonsense.
So, you gotta listen to the words I use, Nosh. Every word I use has meaning.
Finish your turn, man. Finish your turn.
I don't use idle words. I said, what did I say? I said, I will show the dictatorial tendencies of the Biden administration that are frequently unsuccessful because of their arrogant, hubristic recklessness and incompetence.
All right. Are you finished yet? I'm
not yet, but I will await your response and respond in return.
Are you done?
For now, I'm awaiting your response.
Okay. So a more serious consideration of the event would be Biden on the campaign trail promises that he's going to remove all student debt. Oh, Joe Biden, he's going to do this for those people who went out and stood in the lines and voted for him. Oh, Joe Biden going to come through for him. In actuality, not only did Joe Biden know that he wouldn't be able to do this, but by putting this through the process that he did, by putting it before a Supreme Court, which is unfavorable to him, he knew he would get the answer that he got, which was no. That was the plan all along. You're making this into something.
He didn't bring the suit. The suit was brought against him.
It's not your turn.
Oh, God.
It's not your turn. So not only did he present this knowing that it was going to get knocked down.
He didn't bring the suit. He was the plaintiff in a suit.
Why are you talking?
I mean, he was the defendant. He wasn't the plaintiff. He was the defendant.
Man.
Oh, God. Okay, okay, Nosh. All right, Nosh. Okay, whatever. You're right, Nosh.
You can't show 2 minutes of discipline?
I'm sorry. I was just so outrageous. He was the defendant, Nosh. He wasn't the plaintiff.
Again.
Good Lord.
This was simple, old-school, dim politics. You get on the campaign trail and you promise a certain thing, and in actuality, you're going to be able only to do a fraction of that thing. You're turning this into something else that's ridiculous, talking about some dictator or whatever. Nah, this is an incompetence. This is what he planned on from the beginning. He knew this would not happen, but he promised it to Gen Z, because those young folks showed up for him in large numbers to vote. So this was part of getting them in the booth to push the button for Joe Biden. But in actuality, we saw how it played out. You think that's a dictator move. I think that's politics as usual, and you're a little biased in your opinion on this, so you take it to an extreme. I'm done.
Okay, so he's just manipulative. He's not a dictator. Lord, that was great, man. That was outstanding.
Are you from America? Where are you from, brother? You ain't been around for these election cycles? This ain't nothing new. What?
Okay, Nosh, I'm sure you're convincing the audience here. I'm sure they're very much convinced by your argument that Biden has no dictatorial tendencies whatsoever. I have presented no evidence whatsoever that he is. You're right.
I don't think he's done a good job.
Can we go on to the next thing now? Because I got a lot more.
Go ahead.
I'm just scratching the surface with the Biden administration. The Biden administration is so outrageous. It's hard to know where to stop.
Somebody else wanted to say something.
I would like to make a comment to something that a statement Nosh had made earlier when we were talking about the laptop and everything. And Nosh, you had said that nobody would be that stupid to have a drug addict son be the bag man. Well, here's the other thing that goes along with that. Nobody has ever claimed that Biden was smart. And I can tell you as an alcoholic and an addict that when necessary, you can be straight and look like you got your shit together all day long if you have to.
that point I agree with. I think he did a good job of that in those rooms with those people where he would convince them that he had influence over the government or over the administration, when in actuality he was the black sheep of the family, really didn't have the president or the vice president's ear, and he was able to monetize that. Now, should he go to jail for that? Yes. It's illegal. You can't be out there presenting yourself as if you're, you know, you have whatever within the administration, and then in reality, you're just bilking those people for money. So, yeah, that's what he did. That's what he should go to jail for. Now, the problem becomes when people turn that into, yeah, that means that the Bidens are under the Chinese payment plan. No. The real people in China, like Yi, you think he had a meeting with Yi? No. He never meet with the real folks in China, the real power brokers over there, because they know better than to talk to him. They just set up their super PAC and send the money directly to Joe.
Okay, then here's my follow-up question on there. Okay. You don't give anybody money for nothing. You just don't. Am I correct in that statement?
If the guy presents a good front and convinces them that he can deliver, that happens.
You expect something in return for your money.
Correct.
I want to know what the product was that these people were giving the what product were the Bidens giving to the people that were giving them money?
And you notice how you said Bidens, including Joe, in this. Well, we've already established this is Hunter acting alone. Now, another thing we should probably look into is the Chinese companies who were able to give that money to him. What happened to the people at the head of that company? I'm going to assume some very bad things happened to people who wasted money on Hunter Biden, thinking he had sway within the administration. But I also noticed how you guys say regime for the Biden group, and you say administration for the Trump group. Clever wordplay. Interesting.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Biden's product does not necessarily mean that they are, one, passing laws in favor of a foreign entity, or two, passing regulations that are favorable to a foreign entity. But here's where the real power comes in. They can guide and direct contracts from the United States government to these foreign entities. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are providing anything more than that, along with the possibility and probability that the information could be given to them in return for those dollars.
Yeah, so again, if Yi wants to do something with Biden, he sets up a super PAC, he sends the money, and if that's the way it goes, that's the way it goes, because that is legal now. Citizens United, this is what we voted for, I guess. That's the legal thing. Hunter Biden, totally different story. You have to find the quid pro quo there. You have to show me where he got those companies the get that they were supposed to get. And what you'll find is he robbed them. He got those people to give him money on the return that the idea was he had influence that he didn't have. So he conned those people, man. That dude should go to jail for that. I have no problem with Hunter Biden being arrested for that. But you guys want to draw a line from that to Joe Biden and make it into a conspiracy when we saw the Republicans bring that case to court, and it fell apart in front of everybody, because not only did they not have the evidence, but they couldn't even find a direct money link from one to the other. We saw them bring that forward and lose. But you guys are still holding on to the argument because you hate Joe Biden and you're so biased that you can't see outside of it.
I see. Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Why then, if it was all up and legit and everything, did all of the money that was being paid went through at least 25 corporations?
Because that's typically what criminals do. They run things through shell corporations. Now, the funny thing about this is the places of reincorporation, Delaware, a place Joe Biden is real familiar with. If there was a track record that people could find and really study and really get Joe Biden, it would be there. But guess what? It doesn't exist because, again, Hunter Biden was the black sheep of the family, and you guys just don't want to accept that. And that's cool, but I'm not about to argue with you about this all night, man. The case is going nowhere. It's going nowhere.
Well, you know, Delaware is real easy to build shell companies in and corporations.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
Why would they do that? And not only why would they do that for direct payment, why would they ignore the that FARA Act?
Because Hunter Biden
if what they're doing is legitimate, okay?
And you keep saying there. You keep saying there. Notice how you keep doing that. You don't say Hunter. You say there.
Well, there is more than one person involved in this besides Hunter Biden. Because I know that, you know, if I was a person or a foreign government that was trying to buy influence off of somebody, I sure as hell wouldn't be doing it